Hey, what's poppin', everybody? We are heading into the weekend with the Drew and Mike Show from the DealsNindy.com studios, per usual, with Trudy Mark and Brandon.
Hello.
Hello.
And, well, let's see how to get you into this weekend. Well, football-wise, we're okay, right? Michigan's going to play.
Unfortunately, yeah, Michigan will be facing off against Wisconsin late at night.
Oh, so those guys have extra time to get ready? They've been out for 3 weeks?
Sure.
They have all day.
I think it's the ABC game, which is going to be, so we get to get embarrassed on national TV.
Who's Michigan State playing?
No idea.
Indiana.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But did you see all the awesome action last night?
I did not. There was action last night?
Yeah, Western Michigan and Toledo, baby.
Bowling Green the night before.
Was it a good game?
Western Michigan scored, got an onside kick, and had the most amazing touchdown to win the game.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's one where the quarterback would go up to fake it, you know, fake a spike to stop the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody was covering the wide receiver.
I love that play.
So he makes a spike, and he was so wide open.
I have to tell you, I know Michigan failed this play, but I don't know why more teams don't do both that play, the fake spike, and also the one where the quarterback runs to the line and then lofts a little pass like Denard Robinson used to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they failed it.
The Tim Tebow one. Well, they failed it because it wasn't the quarterback.
I mean, that play does not fail very often. Hernan Hooker did it for the Hokies, by the way. Okay. And it was, I think, about a 40-yard gain.
Wasn't it Tebow the one that originated?
Yeah, Tebow. He used to love that play.
What was the story you had in your prep the other day about Tebow? He won't swear?
Somebody did a podcast with one of his former teammates at Florida, and they told a story about when, I guess, the play call had the word shit in it. And Tebow went up there, and he's like, all right, guys, why scream?
Wait, what was the play? Go along and shit.
And he said, you guys, I'm not using that word. And they all made a big deal about it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, but he'll protect a murderer and get him out of the bar so he doesn't get in trouble.
You know, in such a cynical, sarcastic society, oftentimes looking for the negative on anybody or anything. If you're fortunate enough to spend 5 minutes or 20 minutes around Tim Tebow, your life is better for it. Timeout on the field.
Unless you're in the,
didn't help him that much.
Unless you're in the homo capital of the world, right, Tom?
Oh, my. You know,
I'm
just going to have to let this one go because I was thinking about him yesterday. I was reading about Jeffrey Toobin, and I thought, wow, this guy who said the F word, A-G, is done. It's over. But this guy that masturbated in front of a bunch of people.
He didn't know.
I know he didn't know, but Tom Brenneman. He did not know he was on the air.
That's true.
I mean, same difference. Isn't it worse to masturbate in front of a bunch of women?
Well, that's Trudy.
Strangers.
Well.
Do you want to see if Jeffrey Toobin, if you're talking to Jeffrey Toobin on Zoom, and you're on a conference call and you couldn't get off the call, and Toobin puts his camera down to his midsection and starts masturbating, would you not be unhappy?
I'd be unhappy.
Would you be as unhappy?
Tubin.
Would you avert your eyes or would you watch it?
I'd avert my eyes. I might throw up.
You would watch it.
You like what you see, huh?
I don't think so.
Would you be more uncomfortable knowing Jeffrey Toobin is masturbating on your Zoom call or hearing Tom Brenneman say the F word accidentally live? I mean, if you're listening, it's not an accident.
I guess I would rather hear Thom say that.
Of course you would. It's not even a question.
Homophobe?
I don't want him to do it. Neither do I want Jeffrey to, you know, thread his wiener out. But
it's just weird that one guy's life is virtually over. Although it sounds like he might get another job. I don't know.
Well, how many books has he written, Drew?
I don't know.
None. Thom has written none.
I'll get a job somewhere. He's not done. Yeah. He's just done with the Reds.
Deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
He's pretty competent.
The best moment of 2020.
It's pretty
what?
Good. It's way up there.
Oh, wait. Is that a contest?
Talk about...
I mean, that's pretty good.
Talk about dedication to doing your job.
Your craft?
Yes.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
I'm going to declare the best moment of 2020 has been... trial by media just for this alone.
Maybe went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys, and it got out of hand.
Nice.
Well, I don't know, you know. It happens.
Is that a Twitter poll, the best moment of 2020? I guess it's too many.
It could be.
Tom Brenneman's apology or
Tubes'
discovery of...
Maybe.
Well, I have some pretty important news that I just want to pass along, because I think it is important to this person especially. Phil Collins has come out to say, I do not stink! I don't stink!
Yeah, he does.
And that he brushes his teeth.
You're right.
And that, you know, he never stunk. And I think did he say he can fuck too? Because she said
he did.
I can't fuck. I can't fuck. I just thought of that. Phil. What is, by the way, this is another one of these things where, sort of along the lines of recording people without telling them and then going, hey, look at this, listen to this. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with the argument. This is a married couple. Isn't it? It's just grossly unfair for the person who is not a public figure to say, I won't have that house he promised me, even though I have a prenup that says I don't get it. But he stunk, and he didn't brush his teeth. And, I mean, I almost feel like...
Well, it was in the divorce filing, right? So, I mean...
I guess so, but...
Wait a minute. She divorced him on the grounds that he stank?
Well, that's part of it.
Well, she's implying that it has nothing to do with the argument, which is that she says he promised her half the house. Well, there's a prenup that says otherwise.
I know, but...
She says he promised her, and not only that, he stinks! And he doesn't brush his teeth, and he can't fuck me!
I like the idea.
Why didn't he come
divorce somebody on the grounds that they stink, though? I never... No, that's novel!
It has nothing to do with the grounds. They were not married. She married someone else.
I'm just extrapolating past that into,
Hey, I said, get out of my house.
I mean, that's how click crazy we are. Who doesn't know now that Phil Collins stunk?
I know.
I mean, I picture him smelling now. It's like if I saw him in the room, I go, oh, boy, I don't want to go over there.
Stay away from him.
Feet of him, it's going to stink.
What do you think it is, though? I mean, what could Phil stink like? Is he...
If I saw him in a room, I would just assume he shit his pants, and it'd just be horrible. And I'd want to evacuate immediately. I mean, I don't know. Sounds like he pays no attention to any hygiene whatsoever. He's not brushing his teeth. He can't fuck.
Well, he is ill, isn't he?
Yes.
He wasn't that sick that he couldn't take a shower.
Well, maybe he was.
I don't know if he can bang. I mean, last time we saw him try to do a concert, he was sitting down. He was doing all his concerts from that chair, and he was struggling in that chair. He even fell out of it.
But, you don't have to be sitting to bang.
If he can't
laying.
Fuck, he's going to smell maybe not quite. I don't want to comment on what
are you saying
it smells
the only
like,
reason
but...
he would shower is so he could fuck? I mean, once you can't fuck, it's just all over. You might as well stink.
It fucking has nothing to do
that.
Fucking doesn't have much to do with how he smells.
I mean, honestly, if it wasn't about getting a mate and getting laid, how many people would take a shower?
There's some truth to that. Well, people are kind of extreme about it, but anyway, so he has made that announcement, and I think that's significant, and there's another important announcement. Not exactly breaking news, but it's important news people will want to know. But first, this news from the city of Royal Oak.
Hey.
Yeah, here we go. The holiday gift card promotion has gone extremely well. It's gone It's gone so extremely well that they're revamping it. And in fact, spend your holiday dollars locally by purchasing Royal Oak Downtown Dollars as a gift for your friends and family and even for yourself. From November 13th to December 31st. The 13th would be Friday.
Tomorrow,
Friday, okay, Friday, so probably 13th. Today as you're listening. It's active. To December 31st, if you buy a $10, $30, or $50 e-card, you get a second card with 50% matched value sent to you for free. Mm. Buy a $30 card, get a free $15 card as a bonus. Downtown Dollars gifts can be spent at over 70 locations in downtown Royal Oak, including bars, restaurants, and retail shops. Buy your gift card starting Friday, the 13th, by going to visitroyaloak.com. And there is a limit on this. It's now $300 per card buyer.
Okay.
It's $300. If you spend $300, you get $150 in
$200 I ever spent.
Pretty good deal.
Is that John?
Bonus gift card balance. Bonus gift card would expire June 30th, 2021. What you pay never expires. You can spend that in 2020.
It rolls over.
Yeah, it just keeps rolling. Wow. Well, look, I don't know that all 70 retailers will be still in business in 2020, but the Royal Oak DDA has assumed the cost of all e-card delivery fees, including a $1 plus 5% e-delivery fee on cards bought and a $1 per card for delivery fees of bonus card. And as we step into fall, well, we're really pretty launched in the fall now. The team at Zot Ford Chrysler, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has their Jeep celebration event going, including the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month? You could lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And then if it's pure performance, port into an SUV that drives like a sports car, lease the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And, of course, the Jeep Wrangler, not leaving it out, although some dealers will leave it out because they can't get you your perfect specs, but Zot can. So go to dealsindy.com, check all of the options out. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. And I was thinking about the Hall Financial Hotline, and in fact, do we need to call Josie and find out, are there more queen bees still floating
200,
around?
200 of them they caught, right?
But wait, 200?
I thought they caught 200 queens.
Originally, they said they didn't have the one queen bee. But I read something, I thought it was today or yesterday, that, oh my God, there's 200 queen bees.
Yeah, they were a little off.
So do they have them all?
Let's see. There were 500 live specimens they got. 76 were virgin queens, yeah. Whatever that means. 76
virgins.
Remember
that? Wow. Does that have something to do with the certain religion? Islamic people yes. Wear that?
Yeah, but did you read the part, though, where they, you know, like they vacuumed the nest? We knew that. And then they went in and tried to freeze them out with, what is it, hydrogen or something? Yeah. They just blew some stuff in there to try to kill them. And they lived through most of that.
Whoa.
Wow. Those queen wasps are tough.
Wait, wasps, right? You ugly murder!
And they're
murder hornets.
Murder hornets.
Ugly-ass murder hornets.
Wow.
And they're also saying, though, that, you know, they think this is the only nest, but if there are 501 nests, and there are more, oh, my God.
All I can
so
say is I hope to God that if I were to be in Josie's back hallway, there are those giant suits, the mommy suit, the daddy suit, then the mommy, then the little boy, then the little girl, right next to each other, hanging up on it, so that anytime they go out, they
like
think
flies.
To put on their suit. Well, if we have to call her, it'll be on the Hall Financial Hotline, which is still buzzing, by the way, from Tom Labuda yesterday.
So great.
Oh, my God. We got a lot of response on that.
Including a lot of photos of his house.
Oh, nice.
I think I had 5 different emails of pictures of his house.
There's a lot going on at Tom's house.
A lot of art.
Yes.
Oh, well, you see the pictures.
Does anybody know I'm an artist? No. Does anybody buy my stuff? No.
You see all the pictures he sent me from inside the house. And the house that he built in the Vincetta area he sent me. Is fucking gorgeous. It's
really?
A beautiful house.
What's inside of Tom's house?
Why did I make it? God only knows.
A lot of wood inside his house.
Yeah?
A lot of woodwork. He said the...
Does it need a little cleanup, spruce up, or is...
Check it out.
He strike me as a terribly anal guy.
I wouldn't say it's...
Well, he's a carpenter, so that's...
I would just say there's a lot in it. I wouldn't say it's messy, but there's a lot in there.
Was it cluttered?
No. Well, no? I mean, okay. I wouldn't like it because I don't like having a bunch of shit, you know,
that
everywhere.
Sounds cluttered.
Like this studio.
What a mess.
Do you consider the studio cluttered?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
I would too.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in here.
He has more than this.
It's sort of a look, to be honest, but it would be, so many people would call it cluttered.
This is a look?
Just, yeah, it's a look
yeah,
that,
as clean as a pig dick.
There's so little effort put into it that it becomes a look.
Oh, I don't
it's
know.
Lots of stuff is just put up and, you know, any so, space oh, is taken.
He must have made this for Fox 2 because it says Fox 2 News. I don't even know exactly what this is. But I don't know if they took it or not.
I don't know what that is.
Is that Tom's house?
It looks like, doesn't it look like a Rose Bowl parade float?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can you show me a picture of his house? Well, inside?
I think that's inside his house, I thought.
That's the only inside of his house picture you have?
There's his boats. There's the...
smells kind of gamey in here.
So they're the smaller, like 8-foot boats that he made. I think that's.
Oh, I gotta see that.
My Edmund Fitzgerald that I made.
They're cool.
Awesome. I would totally.
Really
yeah, I would totally. Ride
cute.
That.
That's. Wait, but
you
condescending.
Do you have a picture inside his house other than that one? Because that one didn't really show you anything.
He made this. I think that's inside his house.
Oh, okay.
There's just a lot of things.
Yeah, there are. Mm-hmm.
He's an artist. He's busy working. But if we have to call Tom or we have to call Josie about the murder hornets.
That's in his house. I don't even know what that is. Can you describe it?
No, I can't. if your interest rate, your mortgage rate's above 3%, then you should call Hall Financial. You can use our hotline if you want. Rates are in the twos, and the appraisal is free. Call Financial Hotline, call Hall Financial today to see how much you can start saving or go to the new landing page, DrewandMikeHF.com, to get started. That's DrewandMikeHF.com. Boy, the old system was working so well. I'm surprised there's any alteration whatsoever. Right now, the majority of loans at Hall Financial are closing in 10 business days or fewer. Go to our website, click on the Hall Financial link to get started. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. This doesn't mention the free appraisals in the month of November.
Well, November's
almost $500. What's that?
November's almost over.
Mm-hmm. On the 11th?
No, I don't write the copy.
On the 11th.
Where, did this come from?
Yeah.
The usual place?
They just sent it, huh?
Okay, 248-308-5000, DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewandMike. You can still go there.
Here, scroll.
Go to NMLS number 1467435, Hall Financial.
Swipe left or right. He sent me 51 photos. And I
51?
I would describe them as like dioramas. Like that he made out of with figurines.
He made that little vet.
Yeah,
that is fucking cars. Cool, man.
Diarrhea.
But he makes like these little.
That's the house in Vincetta.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Trudy, I mean, you don't sound that impressed, Trudy.
No, it's pretty. I like the color, the colonial.
It's pretty obvious that Tom is a very artistic guy.
Yeah.
He's got David Chuck stickers on this.
I know.
What the hell is that?
I should have yelled at him for
Tom.
That.
Okay, there's little boats.
But they're like dioramas, I guess.
I have no idea what that is. I don't think anyone does, but
really?
You.
Do you guys know what a diorama is?
Sure, yeah, it's like I used to have to make them for like book reports.
Yeah,
and
see?
I don't need dioramas, chyrons, or whatever. I don't know anything anymore.
Well,
my big announcement was that The Weeknd is the Super Bowl halftime performer.
Yawn.
That's kind of what I said.
Wow.
Has this been cleared with Colin Kaepernick?
It's The Weeknd.
Who was that?
It was Char.
It was Char. Do you still have to ask Colin Kaepernick, or do people ask you if you asked Colin Kaepernick?
I thought you had to ask Jay-Z.
What's
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Jay-Z, really, I thought you had to ask.
Yeah.
No.
Yo, everyone
no.
jerked off again this weekend, right?
Well, if you remember, 2019, Maroon 5... got all that shit because they just accepted it and they didn't ask Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, I see.
And then Travis Scott did the same thing. He accepted it and didn't ask Colin Kaepernick. People were very angry at both of them.
Really?
And then Shakira and J-Lo, I think Colin Kaepernick gave them their blessing.
Well, maybe he gave The Weeknd his blessing. I don't know.
Well, I feel like we need to be updated if people still need to ask.
But Trudy, you're right. Jay-Z is the one that booked them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Jay-Z booked Shakira and J-Lo last year. He books The Weeknd this year.
That just sounds boring.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
I don't necessarily.
People are going to be watching the game no matter what. It almost doesn't matter who's at halftime.
It's just him. I guess that's the only person they picked so far, because they'll probably put a couple people in this act, right?
Yeah, they usually do that. I was looking. Somebody listed.
He's got a ton of hits. I mean,
he's got five number one songs. So
yeah.
But
somebody will like it.
But is that more? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Halftime is. Usually, I think the best halftimes are people who are further along in their career and more people just sort of... I mean, as songs get older, more people know them. They just sort of become staples of our lives. And so I think that, like, Tom Petty was such a great pick. Everyone knows Tom Petty's music.
Well, I'm surprised, like, because their greatest hits album's coming out. But what about Jack White? Couldn't he put together a rip-roaring halftime?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I would love to see Jack White do halftime.
The Foo Fighters, have they ever done halftime?
No, they haven't. They should.
They didn't perform.
They're perfect.
With
the Foo Fighters are a perfect pick for halftime, aren't they?
I think they did it.
All
for
these
some
rock
reason.
Bands these days, they do not allow them to play instruments, which is weird. You know, we saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers go out there, and aside from Anthony Kiedis, everybody else was just playing, you know, not plugged in, and it's lip syncing essentially, and that's weird. I don't know. I don't like.
Did Maroon 5 play instruments?
Well, they pretended to, but they didn't because
that is so lame.
Yeah, they don't allow it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Brandon, because I read something about last year that they were saying what a sort of a smooth halftime it was, and that they do prefer people that don't play instruments. because, you know, J-Lo and Shakira just go up there and sing, and they don't have to, you know, there's not a big to-do over. They have some hotshot lead guitarist or something. They just sang.
I'm reading the story about the Foo Fighters. Girl gave an interview to K-Rock, and he said once that, I've had multiple conversations over the years with them where they say, we want to have a rock and roll band. Do you think you could do it? Do you think you could do it in a stadium? And I was like, yeah, man, we do stadiums all the time. And we were like, oh, my God, I think we're going to do the Super Bowl, and then it'll end up being Madonna or Katy Perry or something like that.
Well, look at them. Neither one of them play instruments.
He goes on. He says, I actually got really hammered at this party in France once and got to meet the dude that does the Super Bowl thing. And I was like, what was he doing? I don't even want to do the Super Bowl. I used to want to do it. No, I don't want to do it anymore.
That's that?
That's what he said. They haven't been asked.
Well, look at the stretch from, 2005.
By the way, I'm sorry. You didn't. You left out the Taylor Hawkins part where he goes, you know, not to be negative on Maroon 5, but it always seems like it's the final chapter of your career to do the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's something to that.
Yeah.
The final chapter?
Final
because
chapter.
Of Janet Jackson?
No, just because, yeah.
Just because
it's like the last thing in your career?
Yeah. Nah. Because they tend to be later along.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So the Foo Fighters will perform in 2038.
Exactly.
The stretch they had from McCartney in 2005, Stones 2006, Prince 2007, Petty 2008, Springsteen 2009, The Who 2010. That was a pretty good little roll they were on there.
Yeah.
After that, the Black Eyed Peas.
But there's a theme there, Drew. It's all classic rock, and there's a lot of people who don't listen to classic rock who want to see the other performers.
You don't think that a lot of people who watch the Super Bowls like classic rock?
Yes, they do.
I don't say
they don't, but I'm saying that there's also a large amount of, you know, fans of other genres of music.
Sure.
Well, before McCartney, they had JT and Janet Jackson, Shania Twain in 2003. Does everybody remember that one?
No.
U2 in 2002.
That was a good one.
They had Aerosmith and Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake in 2001.
Yeah.
Britney Spears doing halftime? I thought that was so dumb. I still remember that. Since then they had Madonna, Black Eyed Peas, Destiny's Child, Bruno Mars.
Black Eyed Peas, by the way, with Slash. Does anybody remember
Slash
that?
Was on with them?
They did Sweet Child of Mine, Fergie and Slash.
Stupid. Bruno Mars, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Katy Perry, Beyonce, Coldplay, Bruno Mars again, Gaga, Justin Timberlake, Maroon 5, Travis Scott, Shakira, J-Lo, and now The Weeknd. I mean, that's... I bet more people enjoyed 2005 to 2010 than enjoyed 2011 to 2020.
But, yeah, I would agree.
Just saying. I mean, Super Bowl watchers tend to be older white guys. All older white guys, but there's a lot of, 25 to 54, even if you look at it that way.
Wow. That's pretty racist, but correct.
Well, everybody likes the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And... there's more white people than there are anything else. I'm not saying that means that it has to always be white people. Actually, I think the Super Bowl halftime has been pretty diverse.
I just think it sounds underwhelming. Yeah. Whatever.
I was just looking at it. It seems like the trend is to have one person with like 50 special guests lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you can say, well, we had a black person, we had a person of color, we had a white person, we had a female.
So last year, I mean, remember Shakira and Jennifer Lopez, and they had Bad Bunny and J Balvin, which, by the way, the Bad Bunny Snoop Dogg commercial. Does anybody know that commercial? It might be the worst commercial on television.
Is that a Super Bowl commercial?
It's just a commercial that runs all the time now during football games. Am I the only one that has seen this commercial?
Mark, I rarely watch live television. I usually am fast-forwarding through commercials all the time.
Sporting event. You don't watch sporting events live sometimes?
Yeah, well, Lions.
Can you play it, Brandon? I just think this is the dumbest.
You know, it's weird.
Watch this stupid ad.
Say, baby, look, let me tell you something. See, first thing, you can't be calling no more.
So Snoop, the phone rings, and Snoop picks up like a conch shell off of a beach. And he calls it his shell phone.
Oh, funny.
So watch. Okay, play the rest.
A shell phone.
Second thing is you can't...
No, baby. It's me. My bunny.
Bad Bunny? Where you at, player?
No. He's not playa. He's playa.
Get it? Playa, Spanish for beach?
I'm from Long Beach, player. I know the playa. Anyway, how you living, bunny?
Está la buena vida, baby.
What's up, doc?
Is that not the dumbest commercial?
Wow, yeah.
That's the end of the commercial?
Yeah, I get fucking mad every time I see it, too. I think it's dumb. They're talking on shells to each other. It makes no sense. I don't know what it has to do with Corona. Give me Tony Romo taking the answering the phone calls for Corona instead.
I think the idea was just to get Snoop in there and this other guy.
Bad Bunny?
Bad Bunny? I don't know.
And have two bad puns? I can't believe you guys aren't up in arms about this like I am.
I just have a huge confused look on my face is what I'm how I'm reacting to
I got to ask a dumb question. Has Snoop Dogg been on halftime?
Oh.
That's actually a great question. I don't
know. Seem like he would have been on with somebody? Or,
yeah.
I don't know. No, he has never been. He's never been on.
Is Snoop Dogg, is he still sell records, so to speak? I mean, is he charting songs and stuff?
It depends.
Because I would guess that, I mean, he's super duper cool and everything, but he's not really in that age group that has hits.
I think when he appears on someone's song. Although, again, what does he do now? He just shows with Martha Stewart. So.
Yeah, he actually has sort of shifted his career toward more television movies.
Let's see. You want to hear his recent, if he's had any recent hits?
Yeah, I was just curious.
Let me see.
Because Snoop said something that some young rapper didn't like, and he's like, "Yeah, get out of here, old man." and I just wouldn't think you would. Snoop is a pretty cool cat, and it just.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's the obvious put down. I've never heard anybody say that about him. He just seems like one of those guys that sort of, it all rolls off him. Nobody really rags on Snoop.
It does seem kind of appalling that could happen in our time.
I mean, he did kill somebody, so it seems like he'd be open to some kind of criticism somewhere along the line.
Did he kill somebody, or was his associate killed somebody?
Oh.
Okay.
That might have been her last.
But has he had any top 10? I mean, top 10 hits? Or?
So he's, let me just look in, let's see, R&B or rap categories.
Okay, forget it. Because he had that
stupid song with Jason Derulo in 2014, Wiggle.
But a hit in R&B, I don't know about rap, but a hit in R&B is not necessarily. Like, you could be number one in R&B and you could be number 30 in
2014, pop. Hit number 82, number 43. And then 2018, he had a song hit 56.
That would mean no.
Yeah.
Okay. 2010's not that long ago. I mean, for his age, because he's in his 50s, isn't he?
How old is Snoop?
He's got to be getting up there, right?
49.
49.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's still cool as hell. I saw a great list, by the way, and I was more interested in the list because of what they said about the list than because, I'll do anything to avoid talking about COVID-19 or politics. So I like lists because they take time. I thought this list was good. I mean, tell me if I'm crazy.
Okay.
But I got to read the description because I read the description and then I looked at the list and I realized that, there's some truth to what they were saying, but when I first read it, I was like, wait, really? Is this real? Or are they just making this up? Okay,
a long tease this is on this list.
This is a heavy tease, isn't it? Okay, wait, come on. Don't tell me they took it down or put it behind a paywall. Because that's the end of the list. I mean, it might as well not exist.
Can you put that on the list?
Come on, please still be there. It was a good list. I promise it was interesting.
Get some sour cream and onion chips with some dip, man.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
Oh, please.
Just listen to this and then tell me if you agree with what's being said. If it's way off, we can just skip it. It was the end of the 70s. Everyone was more than a little antsy to get going on whatever was about to come next. In terms of music, the next decade started off like someone had fired a starter's pistol. It's fitting that I won't name the album because it's always exciting to know what that number one is. It's fitting that The Blank, which is ranked number one on our list of the best albums of 1980, came out in January of that year. And if you listen to the records that followed on the list, there's a palpable sense of clearing away the past to invent the future. Every style of music was fragmenting and evolving in ways that would have been hard to imagine just a couple years ago, especially punk and new wave. So that's another reason why I like the list a lot. Which were mutating into synth pop, post-punk, goth, the new romantic movement, the two-tone ska revival, the very beginnings of indie rock, and more. Funk and disco were getting streamlined. Metal was getting meaner, faster, sharper. Meanwhile, the classic artists who defined rock, country, and R&B were still going strong, either by responding to changes around them, sticking to their guns, I'm not going to name the artists, or getting even weirder than they were in the 70s. What came out of all this was arguably the greatest year for great albums ever.
Really?
1980.
No way.
If you walk into a record...
should be number one.
if you walked into a record store on October 8th and you only had enough cash for one record, you're really in a bind because Prince's Dirty Mind, Talking Heads Remain in Light, both came out the very same day. The kind of consumer crisis came up all the time in 1980. July 18th was a rough day for mopey punk fans who were forced to choose between Echo and the Bunnymen's Crocodiles, Joy Division's Closer, and the Headbangers. And Headbangers had it rife April 14th when you could pick up Iron Maiden's self-titled debut as well as Judas Priest's British Steel. Getting our list down to 80 was a real struggle. Sorry, Dire Straits Making Movies and George Benson's Give
Me
the Night.
Oh, wait, that's a great
I agree. I do. But it's a joy to revisit so much great groundbreaking music.
I know one that came out in, I think, was it January?
What?
Back in Black.
Back in Black. Oh. That should be number one.
That should be number one.
I'm not going to say which one it was.
It is.
But I was really skeptical, and then I looked at the list, and I was like, wow, that was a banging year for albums.
It was.
Are you skeptical as I was, or more, or less?
No, I am. I actually now agree, now that I hear all those
it was
that were coming out at the same
time. I admittedly, I was in college when New Wave and punk were hot, so those are very,
familiar.
Very familiar. Very close to my heart. And that the those two genres were starting to really peak because they started in 76, 77 with the Ramones and the Cars and Elvis Costello and people like that. But anyway, they put it number 80, Hall & Oates, Voices, and they put everything in here. H&O left their Philly soul and folky periods in dust and went all new wave. They did have hits too. Kiss on My List, You Make My Dreams Come True. That's a great song.
Wait, they went new wave?
I don't know if I agree with that term.
Okay.
New wave, because it does have Kiss on My List and You Make My Dreams Come True, and those are big hits and all that. This song's in a lot of soundtracks, I've noticed.
Yeah. Is this the one that's in 500 Days of Summer?
Yeah.
You love that dance sequence.
Why do I always get accused of that? Because I like the movie.
At the very least.
I did like the movie.
At the very least, they were feeling the music. No, it's a good scene. Didn't he just got laid, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, by
Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, she's hot.
Joey Lovett.
Number 79. I'm sure a lot of people will go, huh? The Cramps. Songs the Lord taught us. Cramps, Lux Interior, and what's the girl's name who's such the great guitarist from the Cramps? I can't think of her name, but she's one of those rare chicks who can really nail the guitar. So, sorry, Teresa.
I never claimed to have any expertise. I just wanted to, like...
I mean, most of the best lead guitarists are not chicks, but she's pretty good. Alex Chilton of Big Star produced. They're a Memphis band, and they were cool. They're not a huge band, but anyway, Rod Stewart at 78 with Foolish Behavior. 77, Jim Carroll, Catholic Boy with People Who Died.
Whoa.
It's pretty huge.
Oh, yeah.
Catholic Boy has, and also is the coolest album cover possibly ever. Catholic Boy is a picture of Jim Carroll looking about as punky as he can look with his Catholic parents on either side of him. You ever seen that cover, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that a great cover? True, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else on this album, though, that we would know or no?
Yeah, I would. I don't know that it's something you would like right away.
That is a great picture. Wow.
Yeah, and it's colorized a little bit, too. It's really cool. It's very artsy.
By the way, the guitarist of the Cramps, that's Poison Ivy.
Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. It's got to be one of the coolest songs ever. Carroll was a New York City poet and hustler, author of the Basketball Diaries. You can hear him in the crowd. You can hear him in the crowd on Velvet Underground's Live at Max's Kansas City, chattering about two and alls. I never knew that. Catholic Boy has sardonic satires like It's Too Late, Second Line, To Fall in Love with Sharon Tate.
Sorry, he died.
he died in 2009. 76, Bob Dylan Saved, which is interesting because it was Bob Dylan's born again period, right?
Yeah.
Is Serve Somebody on Saved or Slow Train?
You son of a bitch.
If Dylan fans didn't get the message of his Christian reawakening on 79's Slow Train Coming, he really powered the point home on next year's Unsaved. Okay. A lot of people, you know, he toured then, and he played only his born-again music, which a lot of really hardcore Dylan fans weren't terribly happy with until he got to Serve Somebody, which was pretty popular.
That was a good song.
It was a hit.
Yeah. So would you equate his Born Again period to Mike Clark's?
I would, because it
around the same time.
If you were around Mike Clark at that time, you would not have had as much fun as you normally have around Mike Clark.
And then he's mad he threw all those pictures away then.
Yes. I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Biatch!
At 75, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Against the Wind, which was a big, album. big record.
Yeah.
Number 7, OMD, Orchestra Maneuvers in the Dark, who the singer took a selfie behind us in the front row Pine Knot.
Really?
Yeah. DTE. Yeah, that was 2 summers ago with Matt. And we were taking a selfie. That was when I was using the stage as a table.
Was it just in case if you that's left, right. That's why he took it? If you leave,
he was just being a smartass, but I thought it was hilarious. If You Leave is on this. They have better songs.
Song.
Message is their best song, I think.
Really? Messages?
Messages, yes.
Let's see if I can find it. It doesn't even pop up on here.
Oh, come on. I'll keep going until you find it. Xanadu at 73, ELO, Olivia Newton-John. It was a big little bit. What can I say? Songs by Jeff Lynne. I didn't realize Jeff Lynne did the songs from Xanadu. It's not really Jeff Lynne's style. Echo and the Bunnymen, Crocodiles at 72. Then we have Curtis Blow at 71.
Ah, Curtis Blow.
Genesis, Duke at 70. I was trying to remember which album that one. It's got Misunderstanding, Turn It On Again. Turn It On Again, great song. Genesis was a strong band. Zenyatta Mandata, The Police at 69. I would have thought it'd be classic. Much higher than that. I mean, you see the variation of great things that are going on at that time, even though 1980 doesn't sound very appetizing. Peter Gabriel, I'll Melt. Oh, is it Al? Is it called Al? Wait, or is it 3? Mel, what is that?
When was So?
86. Commonly called Melt. Oh, it's Peter Gabriel 3, or Melt. Found the single Leaving the Shadow of Genesis for a haunting LP. It touches on political assassinations, family snap. He's always so deep.
He is so deep.
The Futility of War, Games Without Frontiers, great song.
Oh, that's a great song.
Brutal Murder of South African Activist Steve
Biko.
Biko. He's so deep.
Biko.
67. I mean, you know what? He played. I saw him at the Amnesty show in Montreal. We drove a bus of people from WAAF up there, which was the most insane bus ride I've ever been on in my life. Oh my God, were people hammered? That was when there were no, you know, cell phone cameras, but people brought Instamatics and stuff. So when girls were walking out of the bathroom, people were putting them under their dresses, and you see the dress just light up.
What?
Because they were just really bombed and really obnoxious at the back of the bus, and I apologize for
hey,
even being part of that.
Hey, which way is he taking us to the Grand Canyon?
That's Drew in the bus.
Hey, which way is he taking us to the Grand Canyon?
Or it's Tom.
Neil Young, Hawks and Doves at 67. And, you know, Neil, it's going through some kind of crazy phase. The Wipers, Is This Real? I don't even know the what. I didn't even know. I didn't know they existed.
Next.
65, Chaka Khan, Naughty, which is it's a big Chaka Khan record.
Do you know this song? This is the Wipers' big song, I guess.
Sounds new wavy. I approve already. I'd rather hear Messages by OMD, but
I can't find it.
You gotta be fucking.
It doesn't look like their albums go back that far, at least on this one.
Wait, are you on? Are you on?
This guitar's pretty cool.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
64, Adam and the Ants, King of the Wild Frontier. Adam and the Ants was big for a couple years, and that was one of them. There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. The Soft Boys. Trudy, you know who the Soft Boys are?
Oh, they sound terrible.
Wait. Robin Hitchcock?
Oh, Robin Hitchcock.
Led his Cambridge, England crew through the psychedelic trip with Jingle Jangle Rickenbackers and surreal Sid Barrett style wordplay. Well, I want to check that out.
Sounds like you love
out.
Them. Jingle Jangle Rickenbackers.
I mean, isn't this better than If You Leave?
I don't know. This sounds to me like the the talent show at Revenge of the Nerds, remember?
Is that Poindexter on the lead there?
Yeah.
Can't you see this guy jumping in my selfie during this song?
That is a great Separate at Birth, though, Brandon. Play it for Drew and see if he agrees.
Here it comes.
Everybody rushing to the stage.
A little Kraftwerk-y. Wait, are they dressed up like Devo, sort of?
Oh, Poindexter's playing the violin. Who's playing the keyboard on it?
It's the future of techno here.
Boy, they really got their revenge, didn't they?
Yep.
Gotta admit it.
Yes.
At 61, Bauhaus, Peter Murphy's original band in the Flatfield. Bauhaus was, they were cool. Peter Townsend's solo album, Empty Glass. Let My Love Open the Door. Rough Boys. A Little Is Enough. Psychedelic Furs. Psychedelic Furs. It was the first record, wasn't it? God. The first sound more like experimental noisy punks in the album, like a grand art project. They never sounded as dangerous again. Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good thing, right? The Fall, Grotesque.
Oh, I remember that.
It's Mark E. Smith. And The Fall were big.
Like one hit, though. Like on radio, didn't they?
Wait, are you thinking of The Call or The Fall? The Call, When the Walls Come Down? Walls. Well, The Fall, they were both cool, actually. Roxy Music at 57, Flesh and Blood. The Gap Band, The Gap Band 3. Represent. Squeeze, Argy Bargy. Squeeze were awesome.
Argy Bargy.
What was on this? Up the Junctions, Pulling Muscles from the Shell.
Yeah.
I gotta squeeze my butt!
Pat Benatar, Crimes of Passion. Pat was, she was, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. I mean, she was, yeah, she was happening then. Sure. Neil Giraldo was coming up with the riffs. Jay Giles Band, Love Stinks. The Cure, 17 Seconds. This is early Cure.
Pat it's got, Giles?
It's got A Forest and Play for Today's. Boys Don't Cry on that. I mean, the early Cure were good. Mm-hmm. Joan Jett, Bad Reputation. Bad Reputation, coolest Joan Jett song possibly ever, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Swell Maps, Jane from Occupied Europe. I don't even know what Swell Maps is. I don't know. What the hell is that? Van Halen, Women and Children First at 49.
Sweet.
Hell yeah.
Kate Bush, Never Forever. I don't know why Kate Bush always shows up in lists, but I'm
still to this day she does.
Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell.
Bush.
Departure of Ozzy Osbourne in 79 was supposed to doom Black Sabbath, but the remaining three members simply brought former Rainbow vocalist Ronnie James Dio!
Wasn't the last time you guys played some Ronnie James Dio?
And carried on like nothing happened.
Dio!
Donna Summer, The Wanderer. See, disco was still happening then, too. Van Morrison, Common One, which Van Morrison fans love this record. I don't know how good it is. Pylon! Pylon!
I don't like how fast you went by this album.
Yeah. Stay
Which
with
one?
It. Women and Children First.
Oh. Oh, no. Just keep playing it. It's okay. I just was shocked to see Pylon on the list. I missed it.
Shocked
the first
time. It was ahead of this album.
Shalimar, Three for Love.
Really? Wow.
Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band, Dock at the Radar Station. If somebody asks you if you know Captain Beefheart, just say, yes, I'm a huge fan. People think you're cooler, even if you don't.
What a terrible name.
Iron Maiden, their debut.
Oh, yeah.
Susie and the Banshees, Kaleidoscope. I mean, that was when Suxy was as cool as Suxy was going to get.
Suxy. The girl at school whose name was Sue, S-U-E, and she changed it to S-O-I-O-U.
See, I can never spell Susan and the Banshees.
Did you make fun of her, Trudy? Please tell me you did.
She was very popular. No.
You should have claimed cultural appropriation from the Sue tribe.
I wish I had been me. I wish I could go back in time and do it now. But I was shy, and I would never have tried that.
How about Rush, Permanent Waves?
Hell yeah.
Spirit of Radio, Free Will.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a great, yeah.
It is. Grace Jones, Warm Leatherette. I never got the Grace Jones thing, but okay. 37, Billy Joel, Glass Houses. That was one of his biggest. Still Rock and Roll to Me. You may be right.
It's not a bad. That's a good album.
No, it was a big album for Billy Joel.
I get really torn on Billy Joel. It's either really good or really bad. Like, there's no in between. It just depends on the song.
Dang, Billy Joel makes my pussy tingle.
The problem with Billy Joel is that he's a great pop writer. He is.
Is
he's a rocker, too, but, I mean, he is a great, he writes great pop songs.
Like, Piano Man, I can't stand that song.
I do sit at the piano and do lots of work, yeah.
Well, it's a tad overplayed, I think.
You think? But only the good die
Except
young.
When it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. And the regular crowd's coming in.
Only the Good Die Young, I think, is one of the best songs ever written.
Great song.
Ever written. It's just, the lyrics are great, but that's probably my Catholic upbringing.
I only saw him live once, and I'd like to see him again. He did a great show.
Yeah.
Really? He came out playing guitar, which shocked
what?
Me. Yes. He opened up with A Matter of Trust.
Did everyone start booing him?
No, they got off on it.
Really?
No, his fans love him.
That's blasphemous.
So they like it when he's not behind the piano?
He's all over the stage. Billy's kind of wild.
Did he sing Guitar Man when he came out?
Smokey Robinson, Warm Thoughts, which they declare to be his last really good album. I don't know much about it. Devo, Freedom of Choice. Is it getting better than Devo, Freedom of Choice, Whip It?
Yeah.
The Girl You Want. She's the girl you want. Freedom of Choice is a good song, too.
Care to guess the longest song on this album, the time on the longest song on the album?
305.
329. There's only two that are over 3 minutes.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Well, you just take him in there and whip his ass good and proper. Because that's what he needs.
12 tracks, 32 minutes.
There's another album on here that I'll bet doesn't have a song over 329 on it, and it better be in the top 20 or I'm going to be livid.
I think I know what it is. I
Freedom of Choice, by the way.
Does it have a great album cover?
Yes, it does. Very retro.
Yeah, I think I know it. Yeah.
Only four colors used.
Wow.
The problem with Freedom of Choice is that Whip It was on it, and Whip It became a big hit, and the record company, so they got very interested in Devo, and Mark Mothersbaugh said that's really started the end for Devo, was the record company suddenly being very interested in what they were doing.
Right.
It started the Devo of Devo?
Yes, it did. It started the deevolution of Devo.
The combo deevolution. Of the Devo of the Devo.
Joan Armatrading. I never got the Joan Armatrading thing, but...
Never even heard of that.
Young Marble Giants, Colossal Youth. I guess I never got the Young Marble Giants thing either.
Stupid name.
I've never heard of that.
Rolling Stones, Emotional Rescue.
Cool.
Yeah, Stones... Decent Stones record. I like the song a lot. She's So Cold, Dance, Little TNA, Black Limousine. Emotional Rescue was the radio hit, for sure. That was big. I think it was a big hit. At the dawn of the 80s, the Stones were coming off the high of Some Girls. Some Girls was great. And dealing with the aftermath of Keith Richards' arrest for heroin possession, all the distracting drama. He was allegedly going to prison. Didn't happen. That might explain why Emotional Rescue feels a bit tossed off at times, but that's part of the charm. The disco-inspired title track and gems like She's So Cold and Dance Part 1 prove the Stones could deliver even when it seems like they're barely trying. Huh. Public Image, that's Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols at number 31.
Oh, God, you know what's funny? I was just reading about them the other day.
They were good.
I never knew about them, and then I feel like, and Trudy, you're going to roll your eyes, but once again, the Umbrella Academy had a Public Image song.
They did. Seriously?
The series
that show is starting to sound pretty cool.
The series is worth watching just to see how they use music. We were talking before you came down here. We were waiting for the 4 hours for you to come down here. We were talking about they just use Back Streets Back. All right. In one of the scenes.
You know, I'm starting to think that either I have to do a shorter show.
I'm just giving you
or,
shit.
No, I swear to God, lately, you know, we used to start at 4 o'clock. And the reason we start so late now is because I start going through stuff going, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. And it used to be that so many topics felt like wheelhouse. Oh, that's wheelhouse. Hunter Biden, sex, drugs, money. Oh, my God. But now you got to go, probably get 21-star reviews.
So
a lot of people refuse to listen ever again. No, it's just everything is political. I hate it.
Do you know the song The Order of Death?
The Order of Death? Is that Public?
That's Public Image, yeah. This song here.
I bet I do if you play it.
It's not.
Is this the one on Umbrella?
Yeah, it's not on that album, though, that you just mentioned. This also sounds like the Revenge of the Nerds band.
I was really surprised he moved on from the Sex Pistols so fast, to be honest.
And so differently.
Yeah, it is. He doesn't get enough credit.
Well, it's probably because he's kind of a dick to anybody
dick.
That interviews him. And he loves Trump.
He does. But that's so Johnny Rotten. That's perfect. He wants people to hate him.
All right. What number are we on now?
This sounds incredibly not like the Sex Pistols.
I know.
And I have heard it.
That's why I did a deep read on him, because I'm like, what? This is the same guy?
That's an interesting record, though. George Jones, number 30, I Am What I Am.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. Well, they're covering it all here. Yeah. Black Uhuru, Sensimilla, Sensimilla.
Oh, wow.
A little reggae. Ozzy Osbourne, Blizzard of Oz at 28. Woo-hoo!
He came out the same year as Black Sabbath?
I know, isn't that... That's really weird back on it.
Oh, boy. I'm going on a limb here. Wasn't that his first solo album?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley. How's that one?
Suicide Solution. Yep.
I mean, thinking about Ozzy Osbourne being kicked out of Black Sabbath, it seems unthinkable, doesn't it?
It really does.
And
I don't know.
I mean, he did so well on his own.
Yeah, and then he crushed it.
And they did well with Dio!
I mean, they didn't like him. They didn't like Ozzy.
How often do you have a where both... splinters do well. Very rarely.
Very rarely. Yeah.
I remember when I was might have been between my freshman and sophomore year of high school, I was going on this class trip, and my mom was like, well, do you want me to buy you something? I don't know, because it was a plane.
Aww.
Something to listen to. I said, yeah, can you give me the new Ozzy Osbourne tape?
And she did?
She was not happy about it, but she did.
Oh my God, that's
so
cool.
How entitled.
She asked. I didn't ask her to go get it. She asked me if I wanted
it. That's entitlement.
I think it's very cool. My Rosie went shopping for Ozzy Osbourne.
My mom loved me. What do you want me to say?
Hi, Mommy.
I love her, too.
I'd love to bring it up to Rosie sometime.
I guess Mom do knows best.
There's a great email, too, about... remember how I told you my mom was moving the car in her Run-DMC?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I was thinking back, and it might have been NWA just because of the timeline, but this guy wrote... Getting caught up on the podcast, just heard the part about Mark's mom moving his car and reminded me of a similar event. My dad used my car for some reason I can't remember. I had Snoop Dogg doggy style blaring. My dad is not exactly the most tech savvy man and couldn't figure out how to do anything besides turn off the volume and drive in silence.
Of course.
He got home and asked me, what the hell was I listening to? Full disclosure, I'm pretty sure there was a bag of weed stashed in the car also. Yeah, I used to laugh to myself wondering how he would explain it to a cop if he ever got pulled over.
I know. Parents driving your first car is not a good idea without plenty of notice.
That's great. I can't believe you drove in silence.
Somebody else sent a similar story, and it was a little more complicated than that, but it was funny. I'll find it. Ozzy Osbourne, let's see. Oh, he met the six-string whiz kid Randy Rhoads, whose speed demon riffs and gothic flair reinvigorated Osbourne when they wrote Crazy Train, instant classic Mr. Crowley. And Goodbye to Romance was a sweet farewell to Sabbath. Osbourne sounded reborn, and half of Blizzard has stayed in his set list for the past four decades.
Wow.
McCartney 3, I was just talking about this the other day, with Coming Up, and they played the B-side, the live side, which was a big hit. And that was kind of an experimental, sort of an indie rock album, but it's aged fairly well, I guess. Teddy Pendergrass at 26 with TP. Was this before he was paralyzed?
When did that happen?
Teddy Pendergrass getting hair paralyzed?
Yeah.
Trudy.
I knew he was, but I...
You're racist. Should know these things.
I'm racist for not knowing when...
I didn't even know he was paralyzed. Well, how did he get paralyzed?
I think the stage hit him or something?
Really?
Or was it a car accident?
It might have been a car crash.
It was in March of 1982 in a car crash.
Okay, so this is the last album before the car crash.
Somebody tampered with his brakes and his Rolls Royce.
What?
I know. Think about that. Getting paralyzed in your Rolls Royce. Oh, how horrible.
God. Oh, he was trapped in the wreckage for a Jackson.
Ooh.
Wow.
25, John Prine, Storm Windows. John Prine at his peak. U2 Boy at 24. Now, U2, I love early U2. Mm-hmm. Formers of U2 barely out of their teenage years when their debut album Boy hit, but they've been gigging around their native Ireland for the previous 4 years and amassed an incredible collection of songs steeped in lost innocent
One of their best, too.
Sounds so deep. lead-off track, I Will Follow, was their first hit.
Yep.
But it's lesser-known songs like Into the Heart, The Ocean, and Stories for Boys that show the true depths of their talents. What happened to that kid on the cover? That face?
He's a man.
He's probably canceled.
Where's
today?
That dude?
I'm sure he's canceled.
I had a great face.
Total racist now. Member of the IRA or something.
Yeah. I love New Year's Day and, oh, what's that one with the drum? Two Hearts Beat as One. They had a lot of great early songs.
It's a photographer and a father living in Dublin.
Well, you knew he'd be, the information would be available, of course.
And he's still close to, oh no,
Fake!
And the Edge.
Hey, what happened to the baby on the Nirvana cover with the big dick?
He's canceled.
Is he?
Yeah, sexually harassed someone. He showed it off to someone.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Wait.
Did he really?
No, I'm totally making that whole thing up.
They did a story about him not too long ago.
He showed it to the B-girl.
Yeah, but
she got him canceled.
He can hardly be blamed. That's how he started out.
Exactly. It's not
it's
his fault.
His thing.
The Feelies at 23, Crazy Rhythms.
The Feelies?
From Hoboken, New Jersey. Feelies weren't like anything else in the punk scene. Their debut still radiates with a guitar-crazed sense of discovery. Okay. Stevie Wonder, Hotter Than July at 22.
Hmm.
All I Do, Master Blaster, Ain't Gonna Stand For It. B-52's debut album, Wild Planet at 21. That is a great, great record.
They didn't debut till 1980?
No, nope. Wow. They were putzing around Athens with Pylon and R.E.M.
What?
They were kind of a, you know what, they were kind of like Talking Heads. They were really into art, and they were more artists than musicians, and then the art took them into music, and then, what do you know, the music took off. But I was like, I love the B-52s. Rock Lobster's on that, Planet Claire, Private Idaho.
Are you sure Rock Lobster's on that?
Oh, let's see. Maybe
I'm looking at it. That's what I was looking for, and I can't find it. I don't know if I have the right
one. Oh, I'm sorry. Their sophomore album coming after the sci-fi of Planet Claire and the perennial party hit Rock Lobster from the first album that landed like a neutron bomb. Word is Shocking is their debut, but it was consistently excellent. I like Dirty Back Road, which I believe is the first track.
Wait, what's that about?
I can't really say. But what makes this record unforgettable is Private Idaho, which kept the radio-friendly success rolling for the self-proclaimed tacky little dance band from Athens. I never knew what this phrase meant.
What does it mean?
Does it mean
your own bubble?
Yeah, I think. But I think I'd heard that phrase, or maybe I just heard the song and thought there was a movie.
Movie, yeah, my own Private Idaho.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With wait, is River Phoenix in that?
I think so. Isn't it kind of
is there some homo action in that?
What?
I don't know why I thought
that. The one I remember. Maybe there is.
Great song. They still play this.
I know why you love this song.
Why?
Great harmonies.
I do like good harmonies.
Oh, man, Keanu's in it.
That's right. Is River Phoenix in it?
And River Phoenix, yeah.
Okay. At number 20, the song that won the Grammy for Best Album, because, I don't know, it could be because somebody died, Double Fantasy, John Lennon, Yoko Ono. This is a great, these are the last great Lennon tracks, but every other song is Yoko. So there's only seven Lennon songs. The songs are good.
Time you shut your cake hole, Yoko!
Probably would have been number one, but it does have my favorite solo Lennon song.
Oh, Watching the Wheels is classic.
So fucking good.
And
speaking of Yoko, did you see that she's no longer...
Yes, Sean is now controlling the Lennon fortune, and Julian snubbed again!
Julian can't win!
Oh, God.
Is that a thanks for listening to the podcast?
A bit. Wait, did we say that yesterday?
I think you mentioned it 2 days ago. I think.
I might have been off air.
Brandon says no. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
I'll look in a full-length mirror.
just like Starting Over, A Beautiful Boy.
About
I'm Losing Sean. You. Yeah, about Sean. Of course it's about Sean.
Sean.
You think Paul McCartney is going to make a Hey Jude Part 2? basically consoling him about not getting all the John Lennon's money.
That's a great idea. I think that might work.
such great lyrics this song. Sorry.
Yeah, that's
God,
if there's a song,
Idaho.
You know, it's funny. I was having this conversation about, you know, if you were coming up with, if you went through big artists like the Rolling Stones, the Who, the Animals, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, anybody, and try to come up with their definitive song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a real heavy conversation, but this song is very definitive Lennon. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's his most definitive song. Because everyone would say, Imagine!
Was this perfectly autobiographical for the time?
Absolutely.
Because everybody wondered what the fuck.
You're sitting at home for 5 years.
What are you doing, Lennon? Get to work, Lennon!
Stop watching the fucking wheels, Lennon! Get out there and play!
Take a shower, Lennon!
I feel like the definitive song from that era was I'm Losing You.
That's a great song. The Cheap Trick version is absolutely killer.
That rules.
It does. Definitive John Lennon song might be, could be Strawberry Fields. It could be Across the Universe. It could
Across the Universe. I vote for that.
He might.
That's my favorite.
I know John Lennon pretty well. And I would say, I know Help was one of his favorite songs because he said, I was literally screaming for help. Huh. And people thought it was such a nice, fun,
what a pussy.
Good song.
Yeah.
Go to hell, both of you. Very.
Oh my God, he's so deep.
Help!
Various artists want to buy a bridge. I don't know what, I have no idea what
this
is.
Wait, what?
Help me, help me.
A compilation?
Is this a soundtrack?
Okay.
Want to buy a bridge? Is that what it is? Or wanna?
Wanna buy a bridge. London indie label Rough Trade compiled this sampler at the perfect moment, just in time to document an explosion of arty post-punk rebels rising up to make a new kind of noise. Catches these bands at their peak. Delta 5, The Raincoats, The Slits, The Stiff Little Fingers, Kleenex, Cabaret Voltaire, Essential Logic, Skritti Politti, The Pop... I only know Skritti Politti and...
any of the songs on here.
The Slits.
Next. Slits, great name for a band.
By the way, and they were chicks, yes.
Of course.
Why can't we get Donato to fit into that Lennon tune? I think that'd be great. We can mash him into it.
Help me, help me.
Please, please.
It could be done.
Yeah.
At 18, Judas Priest, British Steel.
Cool.
British Steel, Judas Priest, sixth album, but they had energy of a band that just started out. There's not a wasted second. Breaking the Law.
Yep.
Living After Midnight. Wow.
That's the best
tune. Those are both on the same album? I didn't know that. Did not know that. I know it's probably very cliche of me, but I like Living After Midnight a lot.
That's my all-time favorite. That was our wedding song, for Christ's sake.
Really?
The one that they announced, like, you know.
Wait, wasn't what about Here Comes the Sun? Or something? Or
you're talking about when they announced the bridal party, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember what mine was?
Here Comes the Sun. That was in the wedding, wasn't it?
That's the, yeah. That was your first dance, right?
No, Here Comes the Sun was when our bridesmaids were walking down the aisle, and then that Hawaiian dude who sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow, that was when...
Oh, that Hawaiian
scowling
dude
at my wife's walk-up music.
It's not a new era. I don't like the song.
Led Zeppelin, Thank You, was our first dance.
What a great song.
Oh, cool.
Oh, God, what a great song.
This is the song we were introduced to, and I remember Matt Riley standing on a chair going, great entrance song!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but what was your first dance?
It was a U2 song, All I Want Is You, which is one of the best songs ever. So
it was a great song. Yeah, it's a great song.
Says so.
Did you guys happen to see there's some video of some military guys doing a dance to Footloose together?
Yeah.
That came out like a couple days ago. Yeah, it was pretty funny. At number 17, Steely Dan, Gaucho.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, great album.
What's on Gaucho?
K-19.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's the song you would know, but there's better songs in there. Okay, The Jam sound effects. The Jam were the biggest thing in the UK. They were great. Paul Weller, the mod father. Just a lad of 22, but he'd already outgrown the London punk scene. On sound effects, The Jam's fifth and finest album, he revels in the classic English songcraft of the
Jam
and the Small Faces. And by the way, play the song Start by The Jam and tell me whose bass line you hear.
Well, I'm just going to say McCartney, because why else would you ask?
You don't hear Tap Tam?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Let me try it again. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I heard Fraggle Rock. But...
The funny thing about that is they mention that in this little description that Paul Weller fully expected to be...
Oh.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
No, it is exactly. He said he expected to be sued, and he fully expected to be sharing songwriting with... That's George Harrison's song, I guess, it's George Harrison's song. But he did not get sued.
Wow, the really?
Beatles didn't care, apparently. Huh. They must have liked
the song. I thought it was this song.
I don't know what you're
hit
listening to.
One, two,
three. Wow, Fraggle Rock was hipper than I actually remembered.
Well, the Beatles all sued Fraggle Rock. At number 15, Chic. Now Rodgers had to be in there somewhere, didn't he? 1980?
Yeah, hell yeah.
At number 14, The English Beat. I just can't stop it. How can you not like The English Beat? Mirror in the Bathroom, Tears of a Clown, Best Friend. At number 13, the record I said probably doesn't have a song over 329. Elvis Costello and the Attractions, Get Happy.
Oh, that's a great
You know
one.
What? That's not the album I was thinking of.
What were you thinking?
I'm not going to say it because it's got to be on the list unless I have the year wrong.
Oh, no. I'm curious what you were thinking of. And that
It's an album that's hanging
you
up
said
in my
it,
house.
You said it had a cool cover.
Yeah. No, I remember that
one. This one has a cool cover, too. It's four color.
Well, almost all of Elvis's are cool.
I agree. Costello called his tour de force, went down to the pub, had a drink, and said, let's do like Booker T and the MGs.
Red is his power color.
22-minute songs crammed into one vinyl LP with Motown and Stax R&B licks bashed out at Ramon's speed. Wow, that's a great review.
The longest song is, care to guess?
It's not going
to
be over 329.
336, Riot.
What?
Riot Act.
Riot Act. Great song.
Knock Me Over?
Knock Me Over? How long is Knock Me Over?
First of all, it's not on that album. It's not on the album.
Wait, why did you say Knock Me Over?
Wait, did I say it? I said Riot Act.
You said Knock Me
Over.
Oh,
I thought that's what you said.
No, I said that's a great song.
Oh.
You could read me the Riot Act. He's talking to a lady friend.
Oh.
I believe.
Yikes.
Motorhead, Ace of Spades at number 12.
Oh, sweet.
I know. It really is quite a year once you dig into it. Bob Marley and the Wailers at number 11 with Uprising.
Cool. Like it.
At number 10. Oh, is this what you're thinking of? Closer by Joy Division?
Nope. What's that cover look like, though?
Black and white. Surprise!
So sad. He's so sad, Ian. So sad.
Joy Division's second and final album was both recorded and released under tragic circumstances as the band put together the post-punk masterpiece. Singer Ian Curtis struggled with epilepsy was growing increasingly dire, and his seizures were becoming more violent and disruptive to his life. In May 1980, the singer hanged himself. They were just about to leave for their American tour, which would have blown them up.
Nice fucking over the rest of the band.
I know. Thanks for
thinking. Nothing ever again. No,
number 9, Diana Ross. Diana.
Great, whatever.
Bruce Springsteen, The River at number 8.
Yuck.
Bruce fans like it. Also contained... Wait. Was Hungry Heart his first big radio hit? Might have been. It's on there. Along with The River's a great song. There's a lot of great songs.
Wait, he didn't have a radio hit before 1980?
Yeah, he had Born to Run was a hit, but it was like 25. I mean, that's one of those not-so-big hits that now is... Probably has a bazillion streams.
Yeah.
David Bowie, Scary Monsters, number 7. God, another great one. No album reflects the cocaine-dusted chrome of the 80s quite like David Bowie's Scary Monsters.
David Bowie.
Bursting with top-tier talent, Pete Townsend, E Street Band pianist Roy Bittan, and guitarist Robert Fripp, Scary Monster neatly obliterated various iterations of Bowie.
Well, yeah, that's what he does.
It's also got fashion on it.
I feel like he had to die because he ran out of iterations of himself.
what a concept. Oh, I'm done.
He could have had the
could have been on a rap album.
Could have had the physically ill iteration.
Yes.
I was just reading about Fame, by the way, which I didn't realize Lennon has a song credit on that, but Lennon was very involved in writing that song with David Bowie. So there. Another number one. Los Angeles by X at number 6. No, I'm sure a lot of people are going, who could that be number 6? X was, this is a pretty cool, trendy pick, I would say. But I don't know if it'd make it number 6. Number 5, Pretenders. The Pretenders, the first album. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Great album.
Yeah, epic.
Chrissy Hynde survived both the American hippie and English punk movements by the time she got the Pretenders together. And their self-titled debut reflects both of those sensibilities. The first song, Precious, with Hynde's fuck-off declaration, and James Honeyman Scott's tasteful jammy solos, like a middle finger to those two scenes at once.
Yeah.
Brass in Pocket and Mystery Achievement have both a tough grit and a sense of melody to show the Pretenders are capable of so much more in the years to come. Is Stop Your Sobbing on that, too? It's a great cover.
I always thought she is like the best female voice in rock.
I really think I do agree.
Best hair and best guitar playing.
She's just cool as hell, isn't she?
Yeah.
I was just watching her play My City Was Gone with Neil Young at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And Neil just wails.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's who's the guitarist for the Pretenders? Because they have this problem with band members dying. James Henneman Scott died. Pete Farndon died. But Martin Chambers and Chrissie Hynde are still alive. So his name is Seymour, I think, isn't it? Adam Seymour, maybe, was the guitarist?
Adam Seymour, yeah.
Yeah, and if he wasn't crying after Neil Young just obliterated My City Was Gone, because Neil played with him and just wailed.
Wow. Neil's birthday today, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
75.
Neil is 75.
That's pretty.
Oh, Neil's so awesome. Okay,
you know, I think he was 75 about 30 years ago, though. So
he's maybe an old 75, if that's possible. He's great, though. He's still great.
Yeah.
And still making new music. Neil never stops.
No,
he's one of those guys. I mean, you got to hand it to people, even if maybe their albums aren't as good or as interesting or they get terrible reviews, at least they're still trying, still making music. AC/DC Back in Black is number four.
Wow.
What?
I can understand. If it's what I think is one, then I'm not surprised it's not number one, but number four.
But that
four?
Album was huge because the entire...
It's one of the biggest sellers ever. Yeah. I think it sold 44 million copies.
But, I mean, that band, they really relied on that album to see, hey, are we going to go forward? They found the perfect replacement for Bon Scott, if you ask me. They just get shot out of a cannon. All those hits, if you listen to that album from beginning to end, it's fantastic. You won't skip a single song.
That is another band that survived a lead singer leaving, I mean, for different reasons, but there's only so many bands like that.
There's like this one on there.
Yeah.
What is the full... Can you read the song list?
Oh, I mean, everything is just huge. Hell's Bells.
Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution.
I feel like this is all... I heard this whole album on riff every day. Hell's Bells, Shoot to Thrill.
Oh, that's a great one.
What Do You Do for Money, Honey? Give the Dog a Bone. Let Me Put My Love Into You. Back in Black. You Shook Me All Night Long. Have a Drink on Me. Shake a Leg. And Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's solid beginning to end, like you said, Brandon.
Okay, at number three is one of the most concise, joyful statements in modern musical history. A blazing quick tour through jubilant pop, ankle-breaking synth funk, romping rock, late-night soul. It served as an announcement of Blank's grand ambition and once-in-a-generation talent, and other artists couldn't help but get jealous.
Wait, is it? It's not Michael Jackson, is it? Or was he before then?
In a ballpark.
Oh, ballpark.
Prince!
Oh!
Pretty Mind! Huh. And I believe on the cover he is wearing the outfit that he wore when he opened for the Rolling Stones, and the Stones fans booed him off the stage for wearing basically a Speedo and a vest and a handkerchief. And after the first night, I think Mick and Keith talked to him and said, you know, maybe the outfit. Anyway, came back the next night, and I believe he wore the same thing, and they booed him off the stage again, and I think that was the end of Prince opening for the Rolling Stones.
They actually said this.
Honey, I love you. I think you're a terrific girl, but you have clothes like a fucking dickhead.
They thought he was a girl.
I remember that so vividly because that was one of my first gigs. One of my first news gigs in Toledo was reporting that story.
Really?
Oh, no shit.
The Stones and Prince, and I'm like, Prince.
Shooty News.
What was the hit off that? Was it I Want to Be Your Lover? I think he played it on Bandstand, and there's I believe that was a famous appearance because
Dirty Dick Mind
Clark tries to talk to him. Maybe, let's see.
You said Dirty Mind, right?
Yeah. Not in there.
I Want to Be Your Lover's not on there.
Okay, it's the one before it then. I'm pretty sure. I believe he played it on Bandstand, and Dick Clark tried to talk to him. Prince was just like a little girl that couldn't speak. He was so
shy.
So embarrassed and shy.
Like the Prince show on SNL.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Aww.
Where'd that come from?
Char.
She knows Prince?
Yeah, that was our intro for one of the Daddy and Char podcasts. She, by the way, has decided she wrote a new song for this podcast.
Oh, really?
Cool. I'm
trying to get her to record it, but she's too shy to do it. It's a very short intro.
Okay, we're down to number two.
Yeah, what?
According to Rolling Stone, these are the two biggest albums of the greatest year for albums, 1980. While AC/DC were making Back in Black one room over in these Bahama studios, another band was creating their own masterpiece, inspired by Nigerian musician Fela Kuti. The band, here's a big hint, along with mastermind producer Brian Eno, fused new wave, world beat, funk, and more, which resulted in the most danceable record of their career. They later brought in King Crimson guitarist Adrian Belew and Nona Hendrix to expand the palette of their sound from the dizzying opener, blank, to the hit, blank.
Oh my God.
Our process led us to something with some affinity to Afro-funk, but
is this the, can we guess?
There the long way around, and of course our version sounded slightly off. Blank said in 2017.
Is it, did the Police have an album out in 1980?
Zenyatta Mandata, number 69.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
So it's not the Police.
No.
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 Oh.
I give up.
You're in the right ballpark. It's the Talking Heads, Remain in Light. Oh, what a great album.
I should have known that.
Including Once in a Lifetime, by the way.
Yeah.
They jammed all that stuff. That's kind of genius, what they did there.
It's a great album. I love Talking Heads 77, but Remain in Light is probably my wheelhouse for Talking Heads.
This is such a great song.
Did anybody ask yourself?
Okay, I'm going to reheat my coffee before we get to number one.
What?
Now I'm worried about my... Can I just show you what I thought?
What did you think was number one?
I don't
is it going to turn out that it's a 79 or 81 album, possibly?
That's what I'm afraid of. Let me look it up first.
Because it couldn't miss the top 80 if it's that good.
Well, that's why I'm sure I'm wrong. Is it that? Oh, it was released in December of 1979.
It is that.
It is that?
Yeah, it is that.
Really?
No shit. They said it was released in January, by the way. Maybe it was released in the UK in
79. Yeah.
You shouldn't have any secrets from me.
Well, here, I can show you two real quick.
Nobody even told me about it.
My thing failed. I guess I can't show you what it is.
Well, Trudy will have to wait till I remind her that Zod, Ford, and Holly is back in black. And they're glad to be back, offering their incredible Black Friday sales event. Have I talked about $6,000 that you can put in your back pocket after you go to Zod Ford and purchase your new vehicle with 0% financing and up to $6,000 cash back in your pocket on most remaining inventory? Yes, get a brand new whip from Zod Ford with 0% financing and $6,000 cash back in pocket. Buy gifts, pay bills, buy whatever you want to buy. Do whatever you want. Plus, during Zod Ford's Black Friday sales event, you can lease the all-new loaded 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4 while supplies last, as low as $216 a month. And now the one we've been waiting for, the new 2021 Ford Bronco Sport, just over $300 a month. Our friends at Zod Ford are back with their Black Friday sales event, and you can get all the details in Explorer, their massive inventory, dealsindy.com, and get $6,000 back.
He was black.
Tomorrow, or today, actually, if you're listening, is their new album. So kind of exciting.
ACDC? I read a review that was really positive, and I was kind of like, really?
I know.
How's the single?
I'm not sure ACDC's put out an album that I really didn't like. Because the last one I can think of had a couple songs on it I liked.
Here's their single called Realize.
Oh, I want to hear it.
His voice has not changed one bit.
No. Wow. Oh, Angus is just like up front.
I mean, there's no mistaking it's them.
Well, that's always been the big knock against them. Every song sounds the same.
You know what?
And everything's about sex and,
okay, isn't that just a common knock against any band that you don't like?
Yeah, sure.
Is that everything? Because people say that about U2. People say that about Pearl. ML says that about Pearl Jam.
Really?
Which I get very upset about. Yeah.
Wow. That seems like that'd be a deal breaker.
But then he admits that he's never heard anything outside of, like, Alive or Even Flow.
No kidding. Oh, come on.
His music knowledge is very intriguing and yet very baffling to me.
Huh.
Because he is just stuck in New Wave.
Yeah, and he's stuck in the same age of TV as well.
No, I gotta tell you, that's the other amazing, mystifying thing to me about ML Elric is that If it's a TV show made, I think after like 1982, he has like very little
interest.
Outside of The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird to me. But he has this incredible knowledge of TV shows from the 70s. That are, or if it's British. If it's British and new, he usually likes it.
Right. The one thing about, a last footnote about the AC/DC album that drops tomorrow is there are a lot of Malcolm parts that were left over that they put on it.
So, oh.
You know, kind of the last vestiges of him.
When I heard about this record, Malcolm the rhythm guitarist?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a great player.
Right.
Anyway, between Malcolm, who at first, didn't he reveal that he couldn't play anymore?
Yeah.
And then he died.
Yeah.
So between him, you know, he can't play anymore, he's gone, and then Malcolm's dead, and I read the long old bit, and then Brian Johnson couldn't sing for a while.
Yeah.
So when they said there was a new album, I thought, wait, there's only like two guys left. But it was actually just the one guy lost because Brian's back.
Didn't the drummer go to jail or something?
Yeah, he did. He did his time.
Yeah, that was right. There was another incident.
To kill someone over a drug deal. Yeah, but he's back. Cliff, right? And
this is new?
Yeah.
This sounds good. Scooby-Dooby-Bop.
Pretty nice, full song there.
This is actually the second single off there. They had another one.
Yeah.
Truly. Is WLZ playing the new AC/DC?
We played the first single.
This one?
Yeah.
Which I think we played that on the show.
Yeah. I wonder if everybody's playing that locally. I bet would CSX play it?
I don't know if CSX would. Riff probably is, right?
Oh, I would think so.
Shock.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know anything about radio anymore. I really don't.
I love this one.
Hey, Drew, if they are, no one's hearing it.
By the way, we are on WLLZ Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 9 a.m.
Yeah. And so is John? Wait.
Huh?
Tom Labuie, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, Tom Labuda.
Tom Labuda, yeah.
Tom Labuda made the Saturday cut?
He's got to it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, they should hire Tom to do mornings every day over there.
Why did I make it? God only knows.
Who is, do we know who's doing the morning show?
Casey.
Casey is?
Oh, permanently? Yeah.
Is that permanent?
I don't know.
Fake!
I have no idea.
That defensive, Trudy.
I don't know. I really...
Is Casey on in morning and night?
No, there's somebody else.
Who's on at night now?
I don't know who that. I think it's like a pinch hitter.
Trudy, I think you're getting too close to the situation.
I'm pretty cool with what I'm doing, so I'm like I don't try to.
I will punch your asshole if you don't listen to Trudy.
Don't be a little bitch. Listen to WLLZ with Trudy, 10 to 3, mother.
106.7 Detroit's wheels.
Trudy's living in a WLZ bubble between 10 and 3.
Are those
Casey's
our new...
on from 7 p.m. to 10 a.m.
No!
Just after
well,
you.
Casey's got a lot of energy. He could do it.
Yeah. Are those our new promos, by the way?
They should be.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're playing those on the air now.
That's excellent.
It's been an exciting return to the Aldo Eye Center because they're offering $1,500 off if you get multifocal lens replacement or custom topography guided LASIK. Yes, $1,500 off. And if you're in the area and maybe you thought, their offices are too far away. The Aldo Eye Center now has a third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. So lose the glasses, lose the contacts, lose it all, and put a little money up front for your LASIK surgery, and you will probably make it back in all the glasses you won't buy, and all the prescription sunglasses you won't buy, all the reading glasses you lose, all the contacts, all the stupid little stuff you have to have. I love this song, by the
way. Just walk in and say, "Doctor, my eyes! I can't see real good!"
This is the song Glenn Frey of the Eagles said he was living below Jackson Browne, and he was working on writing songs, as was Henley, and the Eagles were not yet quite officially formed. I think they were playing with Linda Ronstadt, actually, as their backing band. But he said he realized that he needed to work harder on his songs when he heard Jackson Browne play this riff over and 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 over. He said Jackson Browne worked on this song for, you know, days.
Wow.
And he knew it backwards and forwards by the time he finished it. And it's a great song.
So he put this out March of 72. Did you know someone else did a cover version of this song?
Of Doctor My Eyes?
And put it out in May of 1972?
Holy shit.
I had no idea they covered this song.
I didn't know this. I didn't know there was a cover of this song.
Do you know who this is yet?
I don't.
You'll like it. A lot of good harmonies.
Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5.
The Jackson 5 covered it.
This is a little too cool for them.
Jackson 5 was cool. Come
I love
on,
the
man.
Jackson 5. It's not really a... It just sounds a little young to be singing it, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
Great manager, though.
Oh, yeah. And Glenn Frey also heard Jackson Browne working on Take It Easy, which he got stuck on, and he gave it to Glenn to finish. Mm. And Glenn did finish it. I think the last...
Take It Easy!
The last line... Jackson Browne has a version of Take It Easy.
I just don't like that song. So.
Oh, you don't like the song?
No.
By the way, Don Henley, wasn't he a dick on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing?
What happened?
I was talking about Irving Azoff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he goes, this is great for a guy who's never played any kind of music. I was like, dick thing to say, but that's kind of the sort of the opening of that whole chapter on him.
Yeah, I mean, he went on to say a lot of very nice things about Irving Azoff and how he protected artists.
But I saw that and I was like, typical Don Henley. And then Joe Walsh is sort of interspiced, and I kept going back and forth between, what a dick. Oh, Joe.
Joe Walsh said so many funny things in that. He is the coolest guy.
He really is.
Plus, he and Ringo are brothers-in-law, and they hang out all the time.
Oh, God, I want to go to their party.
It sounds like they have a lot of fun.
Why was Joe part of the Eagles? Come on.
Because
Irving Azoff.
He wanted security, I think, at that time. And, you know, Joe Walsh had Funk 49 and Walk Away with the first band, which was James Gang.
Right.
And then he's Joe Walsh in the brains department.
And then he had Barnstorm, which had Turn to Stone and a couple other. I mean, he had all these iterations were great. And then he was just Joe Walsh, and he had Rocky Mountain Way, and he had a few other songs. But I think he was I think he was a little adrift around 75, 76, and the idea of being in a band. And the Eagles needed some muscle. So, yeah. I mean, I thought Joe Walsh is the best thing that ever happened to the Eagles.
No, I know.
Irving Azoff was his first manager. He actually was like,
hey,
you need me. And he was like a really young guy, untested. But he made Joe Walsh huge, and then he took on the Eagles and everybody else. So. Well,
I keep hearing you say Bernie Madoff.
Irving Azoff, I think he... Joe Walsh made Joe Walsh big, but Irving Azoff certainly helped make Joe Walsh big.
Yeah.
And the Eagles, I believe, that's pretty big, 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 big money. Because he's on those two albums.
The fucking Eagles, man.
And you know what?
Is Joe on Hotel California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's on the Long Run.
He's on five albums.
Is he on five albums?
Hotel California, The Long Run, Eagles Live, and then Hell Freezes Over.
Oh, yeah, I don't even count those.
And then Long Road Out of Eden.
Out of Eden, yeah.
Does anybody remember that?
That album did well, actually. Really? That was after they got back together, I think. Wasn't it in 2000-something?
2007.
They split twice. But the Eagles tours make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were all those arguments between Don Felder and the Eagles... You know, that was really interesting. When they were talking about Irving Azoff and how he protects the artists and all that, I did just briefly flash back to reading Don Felder's book.
Yeah.
And Don Felder felt that I'm not sure Irving Azoff didn't have a conflict of interest by representing the Eagles and also representing Glenn and Don Felder and Joe Walsh and Timothy C. Schmidt. It was Timothy B. Schmidt. And Randy Meisner and, you know, now I guess Duncan Fry. But because when they reformed and went out, they all made a shit ton of money. But then when they went out again, Felder had been part of the realignment in 94, I guess. But when they got back together the next time around and they went out and it was a lot of money, and I think everybody knew that. But Felder found out, first of all, the first thing that happened was the way he described it, Glenn Frey was a tyrant and would make outrageous demands, which would always be met. You know, like, I want Marlboro Reds, and they don't have any in Amsterdam. You know, and so a private plane would be dispatched to go get Marlboro Reds in another country. I mean, just crazy stuff. He did make an example out of Marlboro Reds, though. There was somewhere they couldn't get them, and they actually spent quite a bit of money to get them. And he said that Don and Glenn had assistants running around everywhere for them.
Yeah.
He and Walsh had a guitar tech each. And the way the accounting worked when he started investigating, he's like, why do these guys have all these people working for him? And Don, you know, he thought, I don't think Don Felder really read the fine print. He comes to find out that the revenue comes in, and then immediately 50% goes to Don and Glenn. And then in that pool that pays for guitar techs, assistants, you know, promo people and all that, everyone pays equally in. But everyone doesn't get equally back because Glenn and Don got a lot of extra stuff, and he thought that was bullshit, and he felt that Irving Azoff did not go to bat for him when he pointed it out, and he certainly didn't go to bat for him when he set it up.
Yeah.
And Irving Azoff's response was, Don, where are you going to make this much fucking money?
Mm. Yeah, good comeback.
And he said, that's not the...
Don was kind of bitter.
He said, that's not the point, though.
Right.
The point is you're representing me, not me and them.
Mm. Yeah.
And them, and them, and them. You know, you're supposed to look after my interests, and my interests are not in paying for their shit. And right. I agreed with him on that point, but I also agree with Irving that he probably negotiated him a deal that he would never, ever, ever, ever. Reminds me of a Mike Clark fart,
ever,
by the way.
Ever. Oh.
Could have never made that kind of money anywhere else.
Good reenactment.
I think that's a, do we have that?
Yes, we played it a little while ago. While you're looking for it, let me just say that let me just finish the Yaldo Ice commercial because I didn't finish it, did I?
God, you were in the middle of it.
Oops.
Did I mention you get $1,500 off if you mentioned the Drew Mike Show? I think I did. I mentioned custom LASIK. I mentioned multifocal lens implants for people over 45. I mentioned they have a third location in Rochester and Rochester Road, just north of M59. And I should have mentioned, call 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell me about the Drew Mike discount. And Trudy, why don't you do Dr. Roche since it's been so long?
Yeah, it is.
I think I would ever, ever, ever wish that was aimed right at me. Its trajectory is right towards your belly button.
Trajectory of a fart. Do you have the regular length?
We played
no
that
American
one.
Guy would ever, ever, ever wish.
Oh, crying out loud.
That was aimed right at me.
Yeah, its trajectory. Its trajectory is right towards your belly button.
I think anal trajectory is a term that should be a common term.
Well, same with fart hang time.
Yeah, so that's a cool term, definitely.
Yeah, well, Dr. Roche knows all about that stuff, but he...
Dr. Roche?
What a weird segue.
He totally does.
He sends how fart works.
But that's really not the important part. The important part is that there's...
He can't fix your fart trajectory.
He can't. No. Well,
that's
I don't know.
You.
Who can? But...
Brandon knows about fart trajectory. He's always got perfect trajectory to the microphone every time he
that's
farts.
That's not true. Come on. Embarrassing me.
Seen you move. Hey. I've seen you move many. The most movement that goes on from Brandon's chair in the course of the show, if he's not getting up for some reason,
or reaching for food,
changing his anal trajectory.
Oh, it's
true,
just got
isn't
food.
It true?
Oh yeah, you know what? The butchery dropped off. I think they dropped off more food to Brandon's house than Dave dropped off here from the butchery.
Wait, what?
Didn't even ring the doorbell. Just dropped off.
Oh,
just,
it's possible.
I mean,
because he sent me a picture of it today, and I asked
him. Doing commercials till the end of our lives to make
I know,
up for all this
to pay
food.
For your, to pay for your food.
That's like a.
He's got it made, Drew. He can't leave the house. He works from home, and now he gets food delivered to him.
Wow.
That's amazing.
We're never going to get him back here.
No.
I want to come back. I do.
That is a Flintstone sized piece of meat there.
I've already eaten half of it. I'm so full.
What?
I have like another 12
that?
Ounces
Hold that
of
up again.
Bone in ribeye. Oh, my God.
Hold that up again and show it.
I didn't get any ribeyes.
How'd you cook? Look, I know. We didn't
some
get
ribs.
Any.
I got ribs.
He's eaten half of that.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Oh, you ruined it with steak sauce.
That is like a, what is that, a 3-inch steak?
Holy shit.
Yeah, pull out your dong and measure it. How'd you cook it?
It's two dongs, so yes, three.
How'd you cook it?
Kristen cooked it medium. It was...
Oh, it's perfectly pink in the middle. It's perfectly pink in the middle. For me, anyway, if I was eating it.
Nice. No, it's perfect. It's amazing in every way, shape, and form. And for lunch, I had a roast beef sandwich. It was
our best roast beef, honestly.
The roast beef is incredible. I'm not exaggerating.
It's worth the drive.
I've not received a penny from
we haven't.
From the butchery.
That's what's funny about it. But that roast
beef. I did receive a lot of food.
That roast beef.
Full disclosure.
It's worth going there
for
that.
The turkey, have you tried that?
It's really good, yeah.
Oh, I didn't get any of the turkey.
It's not processed or anything. It's just you roast the breast and shaves it.
Nice.
Are you still doing Dr. Roche's cookie?
Yeah, I think I think we're still doing that list, too.
Oh, yeah, we are. We have two left.
And we got a boner line.
One left.
One. They have Black Friday pricing all month long is what they want you to know. And gift certificates are always a great idea at Dr. Roche's office. And if you want a sick body, I mean like sick in the hot, sculpted, lifted, bouncy, and firm sense, you could get it at Dr. Roche with no downtime, with no arduous healing required, with Evolve, which is the non-surgical, non-invasive treatment. They've got 6 Evolve, 6 Zerona, 6 Virtue treatments, $5,800 value for just $2,500, and $500 off boobs, breast augmentation, saline, or silicone breast implants. And much, much more. You need to go to drroche.com to look at the procedures and then go on and get a teleconsultation with Dr. Roche. He does like maybe 20 a day, 248-338-1110, and I'll help you figure out what it is that'll make you much hotter in the new year of 2021 when we could actually go out again.
Oh, can we? Really?
Yeah, we will.
According
to Ticketmaster.
Just to delay number one a little bit more. I know a lot of people already know what it is, but
I don't.
If I can figure it out.
You'd be totally surprised.
Mark got it.
You won't.
No, I don't think you'd be surprised. Okay. I was just going to mention that Ticketmaster came up with their grand plan for starting concerts back up. Mm-hmm. And it made me laugh because, I mean, they've got to be so bored over there. What can they do?
Yeah.
And there's the vaccine is, no one's even taken the vaccine yet. So it's a little premature, but I gotta believe they're just
what
over
a negative
there.
Nancy, you are.
No, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying I imagine I see them twiddling a lot of thumbs over at Ticketmaster because, I mean, what else are they going to do? Why not come up with a new plan, even though it's, what, 6 months away at least? Probably.
Yeah, but so are their, you know, their big concert season as
right,
well.
They have to.
I mean, it's their business. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying it was just kind of funny to read today because I'm not going to a concert tomorrow. I'm not going to a concert next month. I'm not going to a concert in January.
Now, when we talked about this yesterday, we also briefly talked about how there's going to be a big market for negative COVID-19 tests.
Yeah, you said that.
And there's a story today in the paper. I don't know what paper this is from, but a black market for negative COVID-19 tests have popped up across the globe as more countries are requiring travelers to prove their negative status. In France, 7 people were arrested last week for hawking doctored coronavirus tests at Charles de Gaulle International Airport.
How obnoxious.
How much? How much do you think they were charging?
Oh, 100?
Oh, for the fine for doing that?
No. How much were they charging
for the fake test?
Just buy a fake COVID-19.
Probably as much as the test itself. I'm going to say $75.
$360.
Jesus.
Authorities tracked a ring down after finding a man bound for Ethiopia with a fake test.
And a raging case of coronavirus.
The question are these real doctors that aren't testing them? Just put them.
No, they're printing out a fake test.
Forging
it.
Okay.
The scammers face up to 5 years in prison if convicted. In South America, Brazilian officials arrested 4 tourists who gave fake tests after they flew into an island chain off the coast of the country that requires travelers.
Why don't they just get a test? A test costs much less.
They're positive. They want to travel.
You can't wait 2 weeks?
I guess not.
Jesus Christ.
A man in England told the newspaper he was able to travel to
You know what? You're an asshole. If you have COVID
and you
insist on exposing people to
on a plane.
That's really shitty.
Yeah, Justin Turner.
This guy says you can simply get their negative test and just change the name and birth date on your own. You also put a test date on, which is within the time limit required. You download the email, change it, and then print it, he said. He added that he went to such lengths because he says he could not get a test that he needed to travel because of
testes. 1, 2, 3.
Because he's not an essential worker. So I guess in the UK, you can only get a test if you're an essential worker. But here, anybody can get a test. So I don't know if it's going to happen as much here.
So isn't the way Ticketmaster plans to do this is that they have an app that you have on your phone?
You have to get their app.
So when you get the test, then it's on your phone.
You have to have a negative test within 24 to 72 hours, which you may go, wait, what if it's in the last 12 hours? Yeah. It's not good if it's the last 12 hours. What does that mean? I mean, just, doesn't that seem weird that it's 24 to 72 hours?
Well, maybe because of the onset of when COVID strikes. I don't know.
Well, you're going to have like 60,000 people in one town who have to run out and get a test within a two-day period. or that you've been vaccinated. Either one of those things has to be on the app.
Right.
And then there's
probably a barcode and you know.
Right. And then they say they're working on having contactless entry and socially distanced seats. Why do you need socially distanced seats if nobody has COVID or they're vaccinated? Why do you need socially distanced seats?
I don't know.
It's probably still some sort of law or ordinance
Well, they said they would
measure.
They plan to work with third-party health care providers and vaccine distributors, I guess, to make sure this is all above board and that the onus is on the venue.
Huh. Onus.
The event organizer and the venue.
You said onus.
I did say onus. I don't think I've ever said onus on the show before.
That's a great
I really
word.
Don't.
That's such a great word.
So
it's a cool word. It's not as cool as festooned. But it's pretty cool.
Our Twitter poll on was it Convo? Was that the
yes,
word?
Yes. Yes.
Did you
yes.
see the results?
No,
of it?
I didn't.
All right. There were some great comments too of other words that people say.
What about conversated? Have you heard people say conversated?
Yeah, that's adding too much to
Trudy
the word.
Trudy and I conversated for about an hour about it, and we decided. Right. I've heard people say that. I don't know if it's a word, but anytime I hear someone say, oh, yes, we conversated,
is that a word?
No.
I don't think it is, no, but I've heard people say it, and I think
conversed?
They think it sounds really cool.
Is it conversed? Is that a word?
Yes, okay. Conversed.
Yeah, sure. So are freighters cool? 84.6% said yeah. Yeah, true.
Hell yeah. And the boner cool. line has a lot more to back that up, too.
Okay.
Should someone that uses the word convo ever be listened to? What do you think? No. What do you think the no's were?
I'm going to say the no's are
1,200 votes. By the way, over 1,200 votes.
I'll say 98.
86.4%.
Oh,
and a lot
I
of
saw
people.
Some of the comments were blaming me for that. What gives?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot of people said, "Hey, if you write it, it's okay." I guess because it's shorthand. I kind of disagree.
I don't like that.
Why do we not have enough time to write conversation?
If you're writing convo, you're giving it life.
Well, Trudy, not to mention most computers and phones will complete the word for you.
Right. Lazy.
So here's some of the two. Convo is bad, but not nearly as terrible as sesh.
I like sesh. I don't know why.
We had a good sesh.
Kind of like sesh.
But I think this one's even better. They call their pizza pie, and they're douchebags.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Do you remember the one person we worked with that used to call it pie all the time? I'll write it down for you. And he's a douchebag, too.
Oh, wow.
So he'd say, let's get some pie.
Trudy, all the time.
Oh, God.
You don't remember that?
No, it fits perfectly.
Oh, okay.
I think Brandon worked with this person.
Oh.
Oh, he can't. Do you remember him saying that?
He's trying to be provocative,
do.
Don't you think?
I do. Yeah.
He's trying to be cool. He used to say another word that drove me nuts. Do you know what that one was?
I don't.
I'll write that one down because it's way too identifiable.
What do you do in situations like that when somebody is like always around you and there's always that annoying, you know, like habit?
Oh, God.
Remember he used to always call
it? I know. That's just
Trudy,
terrible.
He used to always call that
horrible.
That thing that. Don't say it because it's way too identifiable.
Yeah, it's identifiable.
Secrets.
There are a few a-holes that say that.
Right, Brandon?
Yes.
Such an asshole.
Call Luke Nowacki for help with your investments, and a lot of people are very intrigued with many things going on right now, including who the president is and what that will mean going forward. And when will it mean that? When will he be the president officially? Well, I don't know what to say about that. 248-663-4748. For rational financial advice. People like Luke Nowacki have been planning this sort of event for a long time, and they've also been thinking about coronavirus and all the things that move the market, because the market just bakes these things in, sometimes sooner than others, which is why it's good to have a friend like Luke Nowacki to help you plan your finances. And you should have a financial plan, especially if you have kids and you're getting to that age where you need to be responsible, like 529 plans for college savings and things of that nature. Bummer. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748.
Securities and here it is.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Inc. Member FINRA SIPC.
Royal Alliance Associates Inc.
is separately owned, and other entities and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of
Royal Alliance Associates Inc.
Okay, the number one, the number one album.
Here, I showed. I don't know if Trudy, if you and Brandon saw it or not.
What? Well,
tell him now.
Well, no, I want to ruin it for you.
Oh, yeah. I was wearing that T-shirt yesterday.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
You were?
Yes.
This band set out to make history with this album, and that's what they did. It is a punk upstart's bold statement on a death or glory scale. With their classic 1977 debut, this band proved they could blow away any band when it came to passion and intensity. But here they showed they could do it all, dabbling in reggae, rockabilly, New Orleans R&B, even pop. It's the mightiest band of their era, hitting new heights from the anti-fascist rage of Clamp Down to the jolly brew for breakfast skank of Rudy Can't Fail. When Joe Strummer yells, "Now get this!" he's got your full attention. The album was a breakthrough hit, as this band knew it would be. Someone told Rolling Stone he met a German skinhead who said, "My grandmother likes Wrong'em Boyo. What have you done to me?" They confront tough times, poverty, drug addiction, racist violence, the nuclear arms race. With right-wing regimes on the rise in the U.S. and the U.K., there was an urgency to Spanish bombs and death or glory. Songs about keeping the revolutionary spirit alive even in the face of defeat. Like Martin Scorsese's Raging Bull, London Calling.
Whoa!
Arrived just as the 70s spilled into the 80s with a challenge to the new decade. Also, like Raging Bull, a movie Scorsese directed while constantly blasting The Clash's first album on the set, it's a gritty portrait of rude boys facing a hostile world.
Way to bark it off!
Woo! Could have been a little tighter.
Oh, that's the longest drum roll ever.
I know, Brandon, that drum roll went up forever.
Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London Calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania.
You sound like Alfred London.
What is that solo version that I had? We played on the podcast. It was Joe Strummer playing a Clash song. It was on the anniversary of his death, I think. They had a... There was like a COVID Zoom concert, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And they were playing Joe Strummer songs. And at the beginning of it, they had Strummer just wailing this track. Wait, I'll find out what it was. Oh my God, was that good? And the drummer was just going nuts! Hold on.
And Bruce.
Probably under Strummer.
Bruce Springsteen was a part of it? Bob Weir?
I think, yeah, they were all on that. But it was the track at the beginning.
Was it a song for Joe?
No, no, no. It was a song that Clash used to kill. What song was that? God damn it. Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. This
More
is
suspense.
Fine. Clamp Down is great. I think Clamp Down might be my favorite Clash song.
Police on My Back?
Yes, Police on My Back! And Strummer, they had a solo version at the front of it that he just rocked! That's the version, isn't it? Was it before? once before. Right. That's the whole time you're playing the same version?
No, no, no. I was playing the album version until I could find the...
I was going to say, that was an amazing segue.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can you play the beginning of this? I just want to see how the drummer kicks in. He goes nuts! I've never seen a drummer go quite so insane.
Communicate to other people. When you really communicate to other people, that's when they say that you're the greatest rock and roll band in the world. Because all we're doing is trying to communicate.
He's always been so deep. I love Joe Strummer, though. He's, oh, man, he is missed.
So please, if you've got a voice, let's have some ripping it out. All right.
Oh, it's right before he died, too.
Let's get this one on.
Watch the drummer, Trudy.
There's no social distancing at that show. People are all going to get COVID 19 years later.
Oh, my God. Crowd going psycho. November 2001. Drummer, I mean, he might explode. He goes so nuts. Oh, wow!
What'd you do? What'd you do? What have I done? What'd you do?
What have I done? Rolling down a railroad track. Help me, police on my back. Catch me, if I take a back. Give me, give me, give me speed of light. Rolling, Mondays, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That is that's one
pretty badass
one complete list, man.
What'd you do?
What?
Oh, I was happened. I thought
the
show
was over. Are you
ending the show?
An hour and a half list. We're at 2 hours. We haven't done my boner line.
We had a 20-minute read for Yaldo.
I got his money's worth.
I have one more request. Just put this on deck. We don't have to do it now.
I like tangents.
It's Joe Strummer and Mick Jones live in 2002. This is...
Oh, nice.
How many years? 15, 16, probably more like 18 years.
4 years.
After Mick Jones was kicked out of the Clash.
Mm-hmm.
And they really had not talked all that much. But they finally kissed and made up, and Mick Jones showed up for this little gig Joe Strummer's playing. There's like probably 1,500 people there because they're not the Clash. And they got to play 1 month before Strummer died of a heart attack. And the crowd has no idea this is coming.
Wow, that drummer's going insane too.
Well, Topper set the standard. He went pretty nuts too. Well, a little too nuts in the heroin, but.
I would just like to say Get it on.
I'm amazed at how good the sound is for that show.
Especially, it's pretty good, really.
Because the video kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah, it's not the best. I thought that was just so cool. I mean,
that's pretty cool.
To go and see a Joe Strummer or a Mick Jones, even when he was doing the
Big Audio Dynamite.
Yeah, Big Audio Dynamite. And you're sitting there going, God, wouldn't, you know, maybe playing the three Clash songs at the end and going, God, wouldn't that be cool if Joe Strummer was on the show? And then whammo, there it is. Surprise! It's never happened.
Yeah.
Fucking, you know, cool is that?
They seem to have a lot of celebrations of Joe Strummer since his death. Seems like that's so much fun that they cannot stop giving him tributes.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
And what is the movie I saw Mick Jones in? Is it where he's doing karaoke?
Yeah, we mentioned this last time. I can't remember.
Was
the
that the movie with Bill Murray when he's doing karaoke? Think, no, it's not, is it?
We just talked about this.
You know what? If you Google Mick Jones doing karaoke in a movie, it has to come up.
Except then you come up with something from Foreign.
Oh, yeah, there's that Mick Jones. I forgot. Damn it. It just took me so by surprise. I was watching this movie, and I've seen it before, and I'm like, wait, is that Mick fucking Jones? Because I think he's doing karaoke on his own song. On a Clash song.
Code 46?
Yes, it's Code 46 with Tim Robbins.
Oh, wow. It is. Okay.
And it's just such a goofy little scene. You're like, what? That can't be Mick Jones. That is Mick Jones. And then I looked it up and I was like, fucking hey, it is Mick Jones. And I had to watch it 10 more times.
Oh, it's sci-fi? Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, that's not Code 46 is not a bad movie.
Does it every time, yeah. Oh, wait, that's Colt 47.
Colt 45?
45.
Colt 47. That's really funny. 47? I was going, Colt 47. Wow. Never heard of that.
Fucked up my own joke. That old video reminded me before the show, we were waiting down here for 4 hours. Brandon.
I'm going to shorten the show to an hour and a half. Kidding. That way I don't have to fight over what wheelhouse material is anymore.
Don't penalize the listeners.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm trying to shorten my day.
That's fine.
You?
I don't like working late.
But Brandon made me aware of this Twitter follow that's really good, and it's getting a lot of retweets and likes because of something they posted, but it's called Found Footage Fest, which I want to say we interviewed somebody back at the Riff days, like when they did this for real, when they found old VHS shows or, you know, anything from an old VCR.
Really?
But the one they posted today was of Alec Trebek, and I know you're a little Trebek'd out, but it's outtakes of him recording promos.
Did you get pissed?
Yeah, you don't.
No, I've never seen this. I'd love to see him get pissed. Is it Casey Kasem-esque?
Yes. It's more fun.
Does anything ponderous happen?
It's more fun, but it kind of makes me like Alec even more.
Yeah, so keep watching Jeopardy 24 hours a day and call this number. You dumb son of a bitch. You don't watch it 24 hours a day. There's a daily cash prize of $1,000 and fuck, no shit. Call now and play Phone Jeopardy. She drank the poison that Captain Hook intended for Peter Pan.
Tinkerbell!
Fuck 'em.
That's it. That's it. That was the outtake.
That's all they could get?
That's all the outtake. But still,
outtakes. Where he got a little rowdy. That's it. 40 years?
You see a guy on TV for that long, you don't ever hear him swear. It's just kind of like, oh,
he just seemed
pretty cool.
He seemed way above that. But
it would appear to me that he swore 3 times in 40 years.
I want Will Ferrell to change his trajectory completely and become the host of Jeopardy now.
Oh.
Well, the odds are out. The Vegas odds are out.
That'd be a risky move. What are the odds, Brandon?
So, I have to pull it up real quick. But Will Ferrell is definitely not on that list, even though I think it would be funny.
Hell yeah, it would be. It'd be for a week.
If he did
try it for a week.
Is Jeff Probst on the list? Because that's what I, Trudy, you and I were talking about that.
No.
Yeah, twice.
Six people on the list?
Before you say no, Probst hosted Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Oh, man.
And then I decide, why would he want to give up that sweet gig where he gets to go to some tropical location for like 2 months?
He could do both. He'll swing his big dick around, get his way.
That's right, he's hung.
All right, so there's 26 people that are on this list for the new host of
really?
Jeopardy. Yeah, and some of the odds are just ridiculous.
None of those people are doing it.
There's a couple industries.
Oh, there's one I could see. All
right, you're right. The bottom, the whole bottom half, no, I doubt it. Jane Lynch, no, she already has her own show.
What?
NPH, you never know. But
no, he won't.
Trevor Noah, no.
No way.
Oh, what, Trevor Noah. Oh, my God. Every morning on CBS, I have a Trevor Noah joke forced on me that is not funny.
It's never funny. I don't think he's ever done anything that's made me laugh.
But there's this insistence that he is funny.
But it's now, not.
Does he have any edge to him?
No. Well, it depends how you define edge, but not as you would think, no.
Because
people think he's edgy.
Who's Hannah Gadsby? Okay. He gets 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. Well, I find that when it comes to critics, no one will say a bad word about Trevor Noah. They always say he's the funniest, he's the best, he's the quickest, he's the most timely, the most topical. And I know, as far as late night, he doesn't even come, he's not even in the ballpark with Jimmy Kimmel or Colbert or Letterman or even Fallon.
Don't you think the Daily Show really fucked up by letting Oliver walk?
Yes!
And not getting him to do it after he had filled in for Stewart?
What are the...
I'm only referring back to him by their last names.
What are the ratings for, I mean, I wonder if what they do compared to the Jon Stewart salad days, although with Trump, who knows, they're probably very good.
So you're wrong, though.
A lot more shows now.
There are some people who will say he's not funny at all.
Oh, are there?
There is a Reddit thread about just that, where somebody is like, I'm so tired of seeing people call me racist for not liking his TV show, despite actually liking him as a stand-up comedian. He has talent. It doesn't mean he could do everything.
Racist which way? I mean, isn't he biracial?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, but we know what that means. He's considered African-American.
Racist.
What else does the string say?
It's kind of pretty much the same thing. You got to sell your soul as a comic in order to get a talk show. Same issue with Jim Jefferies. So, but
Jimmy Kimmel's funny on TV.
I'm saying he's not funny as the host of The Daily Show.
The Jim Jefferies show is fantastic.
It is freaking
funny
as hell.
And has edge, and it's smart, and he's fucking funny.
And his stand-up is also freaking funny as
so
hell.
So I don't know what you're talking about there.
So some of the other names are in the bottom half, kind of like the long shots that are not going to get this gig at as the host of Jeopardy. Although, include Jon Stewart. He won't do it. Drew Carey's busy with his own. Chris Harrison.
Chris Harrison would do that in a second.
He would.
I don't want Chris Harrison up in there.
Nobody does.
There's another name on there I could see doing it. Nick Cannon.
Well, you know, if he can survive what he survived, he'd be fine. He's a good host.
Al Michaels, Joe Rogan, Aaron Andrews. No.
Okay, what are the... Wait, Trevor Noah is one of the higher uppers?
No, these are the bottom ones. Let me give you the top 11.
Real quick, before we leave, taking a dump on Trevor Noah. So the Tomometer has just ratings for season one of The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
You want to care to guess what critics and audience say?
Wait, season one of Trevor Noah?
Yeah, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, which was 2015 to 2016.
Oh, the Rotten Tomatoes?
It's the only reviews that pop up.
I'll say the critics will give him like an 88.
78.
78. The audience?
32.
Well, they are the audience, though, so they kind of have to like him, don't they?
Sure.
No, because it was the first year after Jon Stewart, so people are trying to, do I still like this show?
I'll say 52.
56.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Jeez.
That's really what it's about.
I'm going to give you the top 11.
Sorry,
only
Brandon.
Because,
go ahead.
Only because I think the 11th might actually have a shot, and that would be LeVar Burton.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. You know, from Reading Rainbow and Star Trek and stuff. I could just see him doing that job and actually doing it well.
He's sufficiently nerdy.
I'm on Sports Dime, and they have him third.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody knows something.
But go ahead, Brandon. Who's the top 10?
No, let's do your list.
Don't forget.
Okay, I'll do my list.
Don't forget. I like that you mentioned Reading Rainbow, but wasn't he in
Roots? Kunta Kinte.
Thank you.
Oh, that's
Roots. Say your name.
Okay, my list has Trevor Noah 15th, then Neil Patrick Harris.
What's wrong with Brandon's 14th? List?
Well, he doesn't want to read it anymore because I have a list.
Look how bummed he is.
Well, he said read your list.
Well, what, can we hear the rest of his? You were close to the
top.
I think
nice
I should read it at the same time.
Okay, yeah, 10, go,
Drew.
No, go ahead, Brandon, because yours will be different than mine.
All right, so the top 10 here, starting, so number 10 is Katie Couric. She is 20 to 1 odds. Jimmy Kimmel at 20 to 1.
No.
Tom Bergeron, who's unemployed, 18
could,
to 1.
He could do it. Hmm. Although, wait a second.
Tom Bergeron would actually be good, but he's older.
He'd be great, but do you think about this. Are they going to hire another white man?
No, you're right. No. They won't. Can't. You're absolutely right.
They'll hire either a woman or they're going to hire LeVar Burton. A minority. Yeah.
Well,
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I think they're going to hire a woman. She may be black, she may be white, but I think they'll hire a woman.
I still think that they're going to hire the person who's number one on this list, but personally. The next one up is Ryan Seacrest.
Jesus.
Come on.
Too much of him.
Why?
Too much of him.
I saw this big article today about Kelly Ripa talking about how real Ryan Seacrest is. It was like, real is the last word I would out. I would never call him real.
No. No, he's as fake as they come.
Exactly.
So you just mentioned.
Right, sorry for the interruption.
You just mentioned Laura Coates.
Yeah, who's Laura Coates?
Never heard of her.
I have no idea. It must be some female that's really politically correct that people think is really funny because she doesn't hurt anyone's feelings.
She is a legal analyst on CNN. She had the Laura Coates show on SiriusXM. She's a black woman.
Boring. Oh.
Okay, well, see, now I get it.
With a law degree. She was mentioned back in July of 2018, once his current contract was up.
Do you guys know who Laura Coates is?
No.
But do you have, that's the thing, does it have to be a big name? Or does it have to be someone serviceable?
Well, here's,
she's very pretty, I'll say that. She's obviously very competent if she's on CNN.
Yeah, she's got a law degree.
This person who has the fifth highest odds is also somebody you've never heard of, probably. Alex Faust.
Never heard of him.
He's a sportscaster. He's a young guy, too. He's only 31 years old. And they've talked about him being Alex Trebek's replacement for a couple of years now, which is weird. So.
I think no one knows him.
Too young, and unknown changes the Trebek energy.
Number four will never happen. Pat Sajak, he already has a gravy train gig.
The best job.
Yeah.
Him and Probst.
Wait, Alex Faust is white. Am I wrong?
Trebek had given his name to the show's producers.
Oh, they're not going to want to hire a white man. Are they?
I don't know.
He's the play-by-play voice of the LA Kings in the
NHL. If you were going to hire a nobody, I just wouldn't think it'd be a white man. If they wanted somebody who they felt very confident because they were well-known, who would help the ratings, then they might hire a white man. But to just take someone, if they're going to take a risk on someone, I think they take a risk on a female or someone who's a minority.
This might be a reason they might hire a white man. A 2019 poll from Morning Consult found that 50% of Jeopardy fans would stop watching if Trebek wasn't the host. Really? So 50% are watching that show?
Ridiculous.
Because he was the host, not because of the format?
I don't know if I believe that.
I mean, he was really, really good at what he did, but still, it's not why you watch the show.
No, I don't think I would have been able to watch Wheel of Fortune if Vanna White had continued hosting, because she was terrible.
Oh, was she?
During her...
Oh, yeah. I watched only because I heard she was terrible, so I flipped it on because she was filling in, wasn't she?
Yeah. But that's what I mean.
She's awful.
You just have to be serviceable. You just have to be able to do the job. I don't think you have to be a name.
You don't have to be, but it helps.
Who else, Brandon? Sorry.
Top three here. Number three, best odds. Neil deGrasse Tyson, which I can't see happening because of his Me Too.
Wait. Oh, that's Neil, right. Who's Neil deGrasse Tyson?
He's the astrophysicist.
Yeah, he's kind of a know-it-all. That sort
Unless he'd have to move for that, wouldn't he? Isn't he out of New York?
I don't think that matters. I mean, that's his problem. He either wants it or he doesn't.
What's your problem, deGrasse Tyson?
Number two is George Stephanopoulos, who wants it.
No! No!
He's already been kicked out of the conversation.
I will protest. I will stand in front of the taping protesting the hiring of George Stephanopoulos.
Well, plus he's lobbying it, and he's lobbying for it.
I know, that's obnoxious.
So yeah, you can't do that.
And they would have to totally redo the podium because he's not tall enough to look over it.
I would be sick if he got it.
The number one best odds to replace Alex Trebek is somebody that they just hired to be like a consultant or a producer on the show, and that would be Ken Jennings, the all-time greatest player ever.
I don't know.
Well, he'd probably be good.
I think he's going to get it.
Don't forget, Trebek said that he always thought Betty White should host it.
She's only 100.
Yeah, like they want to deal with two deaths in a year.
The thing about Stephanopoulos is, first of all, how dare he? How dare he?
How cold in the grave was Alex when he ventured this forward?
I think George Stephanopoulos put his hat in the ring before Hunter Biden had his penis in his sister-in-law when Bo died. I think he did. I know that's ridiculous. Sounds ridiculous, but I think it's possible.
Oh, my God.
By the way, apparently Laura Coates was also lobbied by Trebek to the producers. It's going to be her. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be her. Case closed.
You know
put
what?
Your money on it.
I got to tell you, I looked her up. She's really attractive, yeah. And she's got a. She's
seems
obviously
sharp.
Smart.
Yeah.
So
give me LeVar Burton.
She probably got a better shot than I would think, than I would have thought.
I mean, for plus 1,800 odds, that's not bad.
18
to 1 odds?
Legal analyst on CNN, I was not picturing someone that pretty. But the other thing about Stephanopoulos is when I was reading the same, not the exact same story, but it was about, you know, all the possibilities. They were tossing almost the same names around. By the way, a lot of people like Katie Couric.
Mm-hmm. She won't do it. Isn't that beneath her?
No, I don't think
so. She doesn't
so.
Need the money. She's loaded. Isn't her yeah, husband but, loaded, too?
I think so. No, I don't think Katie Couric needs the money. I just think she
Can
would probably...
Can you explain what internet is?
Doesn't well, Katie Couric seem like she has a sense of fun?
Sure.
And she obviously... I mean,
yeah, she didn't
anybody
mind.
Who does... Who becomes the evening news person, the number one news person on CBS in terms of anchoring,
yeah.
And is on the Today Show for as long as she is, she has to like doing stuff like that. I mean, she has yeah. to like... Being in the spotlight.
I said it was beneath her, but then again, didn't she just do a talk show on Yahoo that failed?
Oh yeah, she, it was not good.
So I, yeah, well, maybe.
But maybe she's not. She has she's just like I'll try this.
Oh, that's if no it Jeopardy work, who is cares? A relatively easy gig.
Oh, I don't know.
They do. Got to pronounce those words correctly.
Yeah, but they do like
she can get an advance. Oh. They do 10 tapings in a row. You churn them out.
See, my bookie has odds, but not as good as your odds. Laura Coates is plus 450. Alex Faust is plus 200.
He's oh, no!
He's the odds-on favorite on my bookie. Betty White's plus 2,000.
If Alex Faust gets
Dan Patrick.
Oh,
Dan huh. Patrick would be good. He would be good.
Yeah. You'd have to move. Yeah.
Why are you so worried about people fucking moving?
I know it, right? Know.
Stop locking people into where
He's
they live.
He's got a family!
That's their fucking problem. It's not your problem. It's none of your business.
What about the Danettes?
You shouldn't even know where he lives.
They have to move. Well, they do the show for me. Oh, whatever. Anderson Cooper plus 500.
Oh, no.
Cooper.
Anderson Cooper.
I don't know. Cooper might be good at it.
I'm putting money on Coates right now.
Huh. Now I really want LeVar Burton.
I kind of with you.
You know what? Anderson yeah, Cooper could actually get the job. I could see that happening.
Well, too bad I already put my money on Laura Coates.
He's kind of goofy, though.
I mean, but Anderson Cooper, that's just, to me, that's like saying Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
And there's no way people would stand for Sean Hannity being the host of Jeopardy. And there's no way, well, but they would because Anderson Cooper, because he's Gloria Vanderbilt's son, and he lost his brother to suicide.
And he has hosted.
Gay.
He's hosted The Mole.
I know. That's what I thought of.
show is great.
I mean, you can't raise your profile a whole lot more than being on Jeopardy for a half an hour on national TV every night.
It's a cake gig,
Although,
man.
CNN does.
Why did I just?
Can you find out what Jeopardy's nightly audience is approximately?
Yeah, if you tell me who Buzzy Cohen is, because he's plus 500 on my book.
That's it. Who's what?
Yeah.
I would think these political people, it just wouldn't work because they'd be too lumped in. Although, I don't know, maybe they'd be, maybe not.
Wait a minute.
Stephanopoulos isn't doing his usual thing every day. I guess he becomes the Jeopardy guy, and Anderson Cooper probably too. Sean Hannity, no. I don't think people would accept Sean Hannity.
What about Buzzy Cohen was a former contestant.
Oh, get him out of here.
Who's the other Cohen who's friends with Anderson Cooper? What's that guy's first name?
Oh, he'd be good.
Michael Cohen?
Andy
he's gay,
Cohen?
Too. Andy Cohen.
He's gay qualification now?
Well, my first love was a chick named Lisa Cohen.
Wait, you didn't know Andy Cohen was gay?
I did know that, but I didn't know that this was a qualification that we had to consider.
Oh, no, I think it makes him, it helps him get the job. I think a white straight male would be their last choice. Don't you think?
Sure, yeah.
Because
isn't their audience skew a little old? And maybe,
yeah, they might.
How
big is their audience?
Maybe a little white, I don't know. What? Oh.
Well, their audience is very white, from what I understand.
Jeopardy so white. You want to start that hashtag?
Well, maybe if they had a person of color hosting, it would be less white. I don't know.
The last 2 months of 2019, Jeopardy averaged around 9.8 million viewers each week.
Wow,
that's still a lot.
Yeah,
it's 2 million a night, shows. But that's a lot of different people. No, that could be like 4 million a night, but over the course of a week. You know, people watch one show, two shows,
here's
three shows.
Here's another one, January 18th.
That's pretty good.
Viewership has grown each episode. 18 to 49 rating remains steady, 2.4, 2.4, 2.2. Those are ratings. I don't know what the numbers. end up being. It's a little less than that. It's probably about $2 million, like you were saying.
If they hire, well, $9.8 million in a week, it's got to. It can't be a different $2 million every night.
Well, don't forget too. Remember, they had the greatest of all time on primetime. And they had like $15 million. So that shows you that there's 15 million people that are aware or have an interest in Jeopardy.
I think there's a lot of people that watch it every night, but I would have to believe.
I used to watch it every night.
On any given night, they probably do 4 million or at least 4 or 5 million. And then they have the people, you know, because those people can't be counted twice. They can't be counted five times. But then you have another 4.8 that seep in, catch a couple episodes. I mean, nightly, I'd be more interested in their nightly number.
Yeah.
I mean, their cum is interesting. That's funny. Andy Cohen, I have not even heard him mentioned. He seems like he'd be almost perfect.
Now, once again, doesn't he have a really cush gig right now? Because he hosts that one show, and isn't he in charge of Bravo?
Yeah, you can shoot, he run the whole network? Yeah.
You can shoot Jeopardy very quickly.
But true, I mean, he's going to have to move from New York to L.A.
I think if they wanted a host bad enough, they'd shoot in New York, damn it!
No, they can't. They have to do it from California, I heard. Because you don't want to move that whole crew. And what would happen to the Watch What Happens Live crew, right? Stupid.
Is that what his show is? That Watch What Happened Live?
Yeah.
Isn't that silly show?
Show, yeah.
I know people reveal insane things on that show.
They do. They get press all the time. Probably because
they do get a lot of press, and they do feed them champagne too.
Yeah.
So they get a little buzzed. Okay, we have a boner line today.
Yeah.
And the boner line is 209-66-BONER. Are you getting a lot of calls, Brandon?
I am, but I can always use some more. Give me a call, 209-66-BONER. Give me a text message if you'd like. Every single one gets listened to. Every single message gets read, even though they don't all make it onto the boner line.
Well, Manscaped is here to ensure that you don't carve yourself up or cause injury in that sensitive area where the Manscaped blade should go. It's the best trimmer for your butt. Wait, they talk about people trim their butts now?
Yeah, heck yeah, you don't want to look stupid and have just a hairy ass and everything in the front smooth. Well, that'd be a weird look, wouldn't it?
Well, I know, but
to tell you
who
that.
Are you shaving for? So people's wives are
better. I got hairy legs.
Can't stand a little hair on their butt?
Or maybe you just want the feel of it.
Or their onus.
Baby clean. Butt feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clean. It feels clean.
Your lower back hair is catching the light in the most beautiful way.
It's the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and... Wait, you just trim your butt, your balls, and then
all
your body?
All of it.
And then
do people
mustache.
Trim their anus, too, while they're at it? I mean, since they don't care about their balls and then shaving somewhere else.
I mean, the point is that this Manscaped, you can try and try and try. You're not going to nick yourself up. This thing's going to be very, very soft on your...
anus.
The new Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Trimmer uses the same skin-safe technology when you're trimming those delicate nose hairs of yours. The Crop Care Kit includes the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code Drew. That's the important part. They've got the Crop Cleanser Hair and Body Wash designed for with aloe vera and sea salt to leave you clean, fresh, moisturized, reinvigorated. And if you suffer from stank foot... Then we have a product, too, the foot duster, foot deodorant. That's a free gift, really. The Cooling Tree Tea Tree Oil offers a pleasant experience for the stankiest feet and allows you to take your shoes off in confidence. Take your shoes off in confidence. Oh, God. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code Drew.
Do you want to see my balls?
That's 20% off and free shipping.
What's 20? Up, boner fart?
Ow! That came out of my penis!
I think the guy in the last boner line needs to listen to some Metallica, considering he called Nothing Else Matters, Nobody Else Matters.
That Miley Cyrus covering Nobody Else Matters? That fucking sucks!
You know something? You suck.
Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
You're talking about the Third Amendment? Did you not see the Eric Andre special?
Eric!
Big part of it, buddy.
You know what the Third Amendment is? The Third Amendment protects you from a soldier commandeering your house. Because it was written in 17 Dickety 6 when there were muskets. You know what I mean?
when are you ever going to have to flex the Third Amendment in your real life? Like some drunk admirals on your lawn? Like, oh, come on, bro. Let me crash on the futon tonight, my man.
Mark, that what? New Foo Fighters song is awesome.
Yeah, jackass.
Mark?
Yes, the men of the world told me to call and let Drew know that Carly Simon is not the hottest. Wasn't ever. That woman's ugly.
I think you're really ugly.
Her teeth are so damn big she can eat an apple through a chain link fence. So we say no to you, Drew. She was not and is not and will not ever be.
Right, yeah. Who's going to want to stick that? Okay.
I know this. I was 13 years old when I touched myself. Video came out. Nobody touched themselves more than I did. Calluses on my hand like a 55-year-old bitch digger.
It's actually been pretty erotic. After all, the palm is the vagina of the hand.
Hey, Drew. I'm just here to enlist in the Drew's army regarding Harry Chapin fandom.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I also enjoy Harry Chapin. You know, circles, 10,000 bananas.
What in the hell are you talking about?
I need to hear Drew and his boomer buddies from Triple Threat Trio become a cover band.
I'd like to see you play a concert sometime.
And the name of the band is Refraction.
That's a great name.
And the title of the first album would be No Electricity.
This for all the dudes on the stage, all y'all gay.
Drew, I'm with you on this one about Fouts and the sunglasses.
You like what you see? Huh?
What? Of course he's still Fouts, but he looks hot.
Exactly.
He's really hot.
Wrong.
For him. I would do him.
Weird.
I always picture like when the turd Fouts talks about how he wants to like pick up a 2x4 and beat the shit out of somebody or whatever.
I'd like to take a 2x4 and I'd like to beat the fucking shit out of him.
I picture him like Mr. Burns where he can't even lift up a 2x4.
Excuse me, what are you doing?
I'm giving you the beating of your life.
Fuck that shit.
It would really make me laugh if you guys could dust off your old bit of Brenda Warner. Maybe update it for Kelly Stafford.
Yay!
Keep it 1985's hut!
Why don't you guys give Stan a call?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure his province, I'm pretty sure they just had a big blow up of COVID in Saskatchewan.
Bullshit.
Same token with Manitoba also, but it'd be kind of cool to hear from Stan.
I know.
Get a COVID update. Now, if you guys could do that, that'd be great.
Okay, bye.
We need a weekly Tom check-in segment.
This is my Edmund Fitzgerald that I made.
That guy is probably the greatest guest you have ever had on your show. There's no doubt about it.
Does anybody know of an artist? No. Does anybody buy my stuff? No.
Real quick, I just want to agree with Brandon. Raiders kick ass.
Audio separated at birth. Wednesday show, Tom the Replica Guy says, I don't even have a freaking computer. Sounds like the drunk guy.
I don't have a freaking computer.
I don't even have a freaking computer.
Audio separated at birth. Edmund Fitzgerald Tom at 107.08. And the guy that says, smelly, but I love it.
I don't want to sell my stuff because I love it.
Smelly, but I love it.
At 129.32, that riff that Brandon lays on the show. And any four-stroke dirt bike.
Like McCarthy, you think this will really work like that? God.
What kind of bike do you have?
Yeah, I'm calling about Brandon's fart on the November 5th show.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
It's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
And for it to last that long, I mean, I still consider it one fart, even though it's 5 or 6 blasts, but it's one amalgamation of a fart.
I don't have to compare it to his ratings. I would be very angry if somebody was saying my ratings were lower than they are. And
smell it. Yeah, I got an audio separator at birth. Kamala talking to Joe on the phone saying they won. Oh. Anna Nicole Smith talking to her son.
To get some meat.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
Yeah?
You're going to be the next president of the United States.
And I need you that much also.
Audio separated at birth through sounding just like Jim Mora in the playoffs. Quote at 20 minutes and 28 seconds.
By the way, Fox News's poll was way off.
We should take a poll.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Thursday night, had a date with the in-laws. We went downtown to the Masonic Temple. We went to go see a cellist, a couple of violinists play a couple different pieces. Well, one of the pieces they decided to play was the Game of Thrones.
and all I could hear the whole time they played it was wiener, 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 next to another wiener, 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 wiener,
those are some great Separated at Birth one. I love that Kamala Harris.
Oh my God!
We got Kamala. Thank you. I guess I'm racist for not knowing the pronunciation yet. But a lot
we
of
we did it. We did it, Joe. You're gonna be the next president of the United States.
Yeah. God, it's really funny.
Kamala or Kamala, 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 Kamala. I don't know.
Regarding like drops and stuff, I know you saw this, Brandon, because you replied to the guy. I don't know if you saw, but Tom emails and he says, "Hey guys, I have kind of a funny story. You might like to hear. It's about the show and how important it is to your audience. This is about my buddy John, hardworking, salt of the earth construction guy, riff listener back in the day, and over last year, he was becoming a hardcore everyday listener like myself. The show would come up pretty often in our conversations, which led to a lot of laughs and hilarious times. Unfortunately." He suddenly and unexpectedly passed away from a heart attack in his sleep at 40 years old. God. Fucking bummer to lose a close friend that young. But here's where you guys come in. The morning before he died, he gave me a call to ask me about the origin of a drop. After the normal BS and stuff friends talk about, we hung up after a pretty hearty laugh. You know what the drop is? Did you see this email?
No, I didn't.
Okay. It gets even better, especially when you know what the drop is. So we hung up after a pretty hearty laugh. But that ended up being the last time I ever talked to him. Every time I hear that drop, I laugh my ass off, and I have to smile back at the great memories of my homeboy. Thank you so much for all the entertainment, laughs, common sense discussions that you've provided over the years. You guys are the best in the business as far as I'm concerned. You should be proud of yourselves for what you do every day. Sincerely, Tom. Oh, yeah, I think I buried the lead. The drop was...
Oh, God. I can't believe my dick just barfed that much.
Oh, wow.
Such a funny drop.
So
rest in peace, John.
Yeah, it's so sad, but how great to have a friend that you can laugh at a drop like that over.
Well, yeah, and one of the final days of your life.
Yeah.
How sad, and, you know, it's always nice to hear that. Not that somebody died, but just that they enjoyed the show. And
that means a lot, man.
Get a surprising amount of email who talk about how much they enjoy the show when they were really sick. Or things, you know, going through a divorce, or, you know, something awful happened and they needed something that just sort of centered their day a little bit. And I understand that now because...
A little bit of normal, yeah.
I guess it's because, and I don't remember, it wasn't COVID, it was well before COVID. For some reason, I was going through kind of just a down period. Maybe it was actually the whole divorce from 105.1, but I was listening to Howard a lot in the morning, and it was like I would get up feeling like, you know, another day in purgatory, whatever this is. And then I would pop Howard on, and, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans on that show and a lot of real conversation, and a lot of fun things.
You experienced for the first time what others have experienced.
I totally got it. It was like, wow, this is sort of the thing that just gets me off. It gets me off the bad track and just sort of, you know, I can laugh.
It's a good distraction.
There are a lot of good laughs on that show. There usually are. Especially, I mean, a lot of people complain about the Howard Show now, but there's still some pretty funny stuff going on there.
Your departure from 105.1, I was thinking about this the other day because, well, I told you I listen to Levitard a lot.
Yeah.
And one of their producers was part of the ESPN layoffs, Chris Cody, and a really, really good guy, but he's trying to explain, Dan is about the ensemble of the show, and he's not just another producer, and he was really pissed because nobody at ESPN told him. And he had to find out when basically the rest of the show found out through news and stuff. But reminded
me, he just showed up at work and the guy wasn't there.
They fired him Thursday night, and Dan does the TV show. And after that, his executive producer told him, and he said the look on the executive producer's face is he thought someone had died. But that's how upset they were about it. In the end, and it's a really good podcast that they put out explaining what happened. But Dan purposely took them off the air Monday and Tuesday because he was so fucking pissed. And in the end,
I can't believe they would not
tell him.
Some manager say, you know, these people have to know they're losing these people.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because Le Batard's like, I understand ESPN's in a terrible position right now. We've lost a ton of money. I get the business decision, but talk to me. There's something we could do here because he makes a lot of money.
And well, so, hell yeah. No, but nobody ever wants – they want to make the decision. They don't want you to help because we used to go through that sometimes. Like, fuck, that's all it costs. We'll take it out of my paycheck. And they're like, no, because we've decided we're doing this.
Yeah, that's so weird to me. That's just
I always thought it was weird, too. It's like, if I'm paying for it, why do you fucking care?
Yeah, and in the end, that's
stop telling me how to spend my money.
That's what Dan did. He goes, you know what? I ended up hiring him. He's my personal assistant. He will still be on the show. And the best part is he didn't tell ESPN. He goes, I'm sure they'll figure it out 4 months from now when they maybe come across our show, because he just feels like they're hanging them out to dry. But it reminded me,
because they didn't tell him, he's not telling them. Yeah. Oh, I think that's great.
And he's just hiring. He doesn't work for ESPN. He works for Dan. He's his personal assistant, and he wants him on his show, which is just fucking beautiful and perfect. But it reminded me of when you left, because they talked about all the emails that were sent to ESPN because the listeners and fans were so pissed. And it reminded me of all the emails and, more importantly, the texts that were sent to the show when you left.
Oh, my God.
And that's always nice.
I still have them.
That was a weird time. I had just gotten back from my honeymoon, and it was like, hey, but I found out. And then, oh gosh, we had all these health issues, unfortunately, in my family, and I was in the ER waiting room scrolling through Twitter when I read, Drew Lane's gone. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have a job. What's going on here? And nobody gave me the heads up. Nobody gave me the call. I was furious.
Well, the thing I mainly remember is probably the third day or something after I left. And they had a whole plan. It was like, we'll do this. And when I talked to them, and I won't even name the person, no point in humiliating them, but somebody was saying that, if it showed at all sports, it would do, we'd be second place, because I think we're fourth place. The station was 20th. Yeah. How much better were we going to do?
Very, very little support.
I mean, we were like block programming. We had a lot of people from Riff who came over and listened to the show. And honestly, if we'd either been the morning show or we had some programming around us that built some audience.
We had no lead.
Yeah, no. And I saw the Programmer's Digest, too, which was pretty cool. It showed that the lowest ebb of the day, the lowest ratings the station had all day, the quarter hour was between 2:45 and 3 p.m.
Yeah.
We came on at 3 p.m. And the reason was because Mike Valeni went on at 2 o'clock, and Mike would tear a lot of people away. And, he's in his, at his zenith an hour into the show, and boom, here we come on with the lowest audience of the day. Fortunately, we had the highest audience of the day by, 3:45 or something for our station, because we had a lot of block programming people who would just come, boom, to our show. Which is not a crime. It's not our fault. But anyway, I was told that if we talked all sports, we would do better.
Wrong.
And secondly, that if I didn't want to talk all sports and I chose to leave, that they would talk all sports with, person A and person B, and they would do better. And that was kind of like, I was kind of rubbing my hands together when they said that. Because I knew that was not the case.
Yep.
And in fact, when I heard the show the third day after I was off or whatever it was, and I think I listened to the whole show too. Mm-hmm. All I can think of was, if this does better, I really should find something else to do. I just really should. It was that terrible. It just wasn't.
And they had a great producer, too. That's what was so weird about it. Your mic's muted.
Sorry, I was trying to trying to hold this dog from barking. But no, I appreciate those kind words. I produced some pretty wild shows after Drew left. That's for sure. I had a show where the show host didn't show up at the second day.
Show host / program director.
Oh, yeah, Dave Shore didn't show up on the second day?
To the point where the...
have you ever told that story?
Well, he was upset, wasn't he?
I don't know if I ever did tell that. I might have told that story,
I just wanted to throw in the... When Drew left, which, by the way, the worst weekend for sports radio for someone to leave, because it was the drop punt, Michigan State.
Oh my
But
God.
Remember, they wanted that decision, I think, October 1st. And
yeah, it just kept getting put off.
And you put it, you said, can you just wait till after Brandon's wedding?
Oh,
I appreciate that.
I didn't find that out
until much later.
Well, no, that's one of the many kind things you have done in your career for your support staff. So it's one of those things I remember.
Yeah, that was because your wedding was what day? October Third, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Which I got ragged on for a full year because, you know, I booked it right in the middle of college.
Well, nice friends calling Kristen and telling her that she got laid up on the air while she was gone.
Oh, jeez, that's a whole
bunch of tattletales.
All right, explain what happened on the second day of you producing. Who was it, Shorin?
I guess this would be the
That wouldn't have been that, that would not have been that week, though, because when I left, it was Matt Derry and Drew Sharp.
Right. It wasn't that, but that show lasted maybe 6 months, and then we shot into a new afternoon show, which was Hunter and Shore, which put together our program director, who was not from Michigan, not from the area, with Lindsey Hunter.
Not really a host of a show either.
You know, kibitzing here because I wasn't
friends with Joe Walsh, though.
Yeah. And Kevin Cronin.
Oh, my God. Because I was not on the inside, but I just remembered seeing his face around the office a lot, and he always had this gigantic David Lee Roth smile on his face at all times. And
he was a pleasant guy.
And
I mean,
that day, it was noticeably gone.
Yeah. Well, tough position for him. Yeah.
Well,
that same day,
Brandon. The problem was, even though that second show didn't last long, it still had listeners. It still had people that were tuning into it. And so when we switched afternoon shows twice within a 6 month period, people just popped off. And that first show, I mean, the text messages were coming in. They were reading.
I should bring them in. You should read them someday, Drew.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to do a show after.
I wouldn't want to do it, no.
I remember WAAF, Bob Rivers left there, and Bob was really popular. And, I mean, for months, it was like, where's God's weather? Where's God's weather? Because Bob did God's weather, and it was God. He was usually sitting on the crapper, you know, with this giant echo. It was a good bit.
That's a great bit.
So the second day rolls by, and I used to get there hours and hours and hours early and put together kind of a prep packet for the entire show.
Ooh.
And Lindsey comes in, and I hand it to him, and I'm talking to some other producers that we have. And I realize, hey, it's a half an hour to the show. I'd like to talk to my host. And
you think?
Wait a minute. It's 15 minutes before my show. I'd like to talk to my host. And before you know it, it's literally like 3 minutes before the show. And not just the host, but my boss is nowhere to be found. And so I get to a point
where I
don't know what to do. And so I have to kind of reach out to whoever would be above him. And
the general manager of the whole cluster.
The big dog. Yeah. Let's just say he came down and he was very upset. Happy. He must have made some phone calls. But right at the, you know, opening theme of our sweet show, he came in, and, you know, after about one or two more shows, we added a third host. And then in a couple weeks, one day I'm on the internet right before the show, right, I'm on the internet doing some show prep, and I go, oh, this looks like it'd be some good sports show prep. Our show host just got hired to be the head coach of the Buffalo College basketball team, and he's gone. We didn't receive a phone call or nothing. He just didn't show up, and he's like, I got
ghosted. He ghosted a whole radio station.
I don't blame him. I was going to say, God, Lindsey, how did Lindsey get thrown into the middle of that? That was an abortion. That was the radio equivalent of an abortion.
I love Lindsey. He was just a really good guy. He used to come to me quite often going, I just don't know, man. What's wrong? I don't know where this show's going. I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? What do you say to someone like that? That's yourself,
I didn't blame him at all. I mean,
well, no, I know, but I'm not going to go, yeah, you're right, sinking ship.
It's a total debacle. That's funny, though, that he's a total ghost. Just a total ghost. He probably never even asked for his last paycheck. It was like, oh, my God, I don't even want to go in for my last paycheck.
Not just
I'm going to make a lot of money here. Fuck this.
It just goes one person. It goes the whole fucking company. That's great.
Oh, boy.
I love it. Do you have audio of that show? I'd love to hear it again, Brandon.
I do. I have every single episode we ever did.
Oh, really?
I'm serious. I kind of want to listen to it again.
In fact, I'd love to go back and listen to that that first episode and see what happened.
I wouldn't mind hearing that. Might be a confidence builder. I got a note from Carrie just a few days ago, and she says, so we know you don't give shout-outs, but you have a big fan of the podcast that has to move to the D.C. area. Ooh!
Mm-hmm.
Take care of an aging family member. I don't know if that gets ooh. But D.C. sounds cool. She's very upset about leaving Michigan. She looks forward to the fact she'll still be able to listen to the podcast when she moves away. We'd happily donate money if You could remind Brianna that she will have to replace herself as a local listener, like the old WRIF days, to support local advertisers. She should also spread the word once she gets there. Shows his high praise for the podcast. Loves listening to all of you, even Maz. We always talk about the podcast. We see each other speaking drops, especially Trump drops. It'd be great to hear her name mentioned on the best podcast ever.
That's high praise.
Hey, and she is very happy with her whole financial experience. Closing was last Saturday from Carrie and Dennis.
What was her name?
Not two dudes. Carrie is a girl.
What's the name of the girl that's moving?
Brianna.
Brianna.
So I wrote back, hey, Dennis and Carrie, who is a girl? canceling you for homophobia for making sure I knew you aren't a gay couple. Just kidding. Why is Brianna moving? And why does she not know she has to replace herself? And why isn't she interviewing potential replacements? I would hate to have to block the show from reaching the Washington, D.C. area, but I will! Who is this narcissistic woman? Why is she going to D.C.? Oh, which actually, I apparently didn't read it very well. So she wrote back, thanks for playing. You made my day. I'll try to make it short. And she lived in Michigan all her life. That's what I was kind of wondering. Because it was weird that she didn't listen to WRIF, but she... Anyway, she and her husband, James, moved to D.C. to take care of her aging father-in-law. He's recently widowed. Having some health issues. By the way, James is not a listener, just sits there quietly while we talk and drops.
What's his problem?
Yeah, get James on the... That's not good. James needs to be listening.
Brianna boyfriend. Did... You could have mentioned that.
Brianna did not listen to WRF, so she needs a lesson on what her responsibilities when she leaves the area. She became a podcast listener a few years ago because of me. We were on a shopping trip. I turned on the podcast, and she was hooked. She even purchased merch.
Whoa.
She's the best sister, and I know it would make her year if she heard her name on the podcast. Brianna, Brianna, Brianna. We're donating even if you don't give her a shout-out. Oh, my God. This is all so nice, Carrie.
She sounds hot.
Brianna sounds like a hot name, doesn't it?
It does.
Well,
yeah.
God, Brianna, I wish you luck. I'm bummed that you're leaving. That's people leaving Michigan, that's hard.
I'm baby.
Michigan, for some reason, it's a place that if you're born here, you grow up here, you just people don't really leave, do they?
No.
Most people, they don't. No. And when they do, it's
they go,
a
and
real...
And when they do, they go to Arizona or Vegas.
Yeah.
I feel like they all live in,
I would say,
Florida.
Tell Brian to send me some pics.
There's a lot of Michiganders in Arizona.
Yes, I just said.
Did you say Arizona? Oh, I thought you said California. I'm sorry.
Did I?
In Florida.
No, you did
no,
say.
You probably did.
Now I'm wondering what I said. What
no, I
did
think
I say,
you
Trudy?
Said Arizona. Oh. Yeah.
Well, she's going to D.C., right?
Yeah, and D.C., honestly.
I love that
there's
area.
Great places to live around there.
Great area, named after a terrible person.
George Washington didn't do shit. He could suck my fucking dick. I fucking hate that faggot.
Hopefully Carrie will get to visit her sister. Well, she will. Carrie and Dennis will go visit.
We need Carrie.
Carrie, who is a girl, and Dennis, who is a dude. We'll go visit her in D.C., and there's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of fun to visit that area.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to live there.
Really?
Well, not in D.C. The Beltway traffic's kind of a pain.
All the traffic's awful.
Yeah, but they have The Mark.
The Mark? What's The Mark?
Maryland area, rapid. M-A-R.
You know that. I don't take shuttle buses.
I just know because it's named after me. It's Subway.
I don't take shuttle buses or public transportation.
Subway.
What?
Subway, yeah.
Well, yeah,
it's just like a shuttle bus. You got to be there a certain time. You don't get to decide when it goes.
After that horrible experience you had to go see that band up north.
Hey, which way is she taking us? To the Grand Canyon?
No, but...
You didn't ride the
L?
No, in Boston.
Oh, the T.
No,
the T.
I don't like... I did.
That was fun as hell.
But,
I love that.
I don't know. I don't think it's fun when you can't be in control. I don't like that.
Yeah, but you don't have
somebody
to park.
Deciding when I go here and when I go there and when I go home and, you know, I got to be in this shuttle bus to get to my car and, oh, my God.
Well, shuttle buses, I concur.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of public transportation, but
subways,
if it's easier, that's different.
Subways are cool.
Yeah, so.
They can be.
Cool.
Anyway, Brianna, I think she'll like D.C., but I think she's coming back.
Yeah.
I think she and Dennis will make their way back to Michigan. There's no, wait, is Dennis from here? Dennis is kind of the lost soul in this thing. All I know is Dennis's father has a health issue.
Oh,
I wish him well.
Does Dennis want to hear his name? Because you should just say it. Maybe he'll, like, be hooked.
I couldn't even go home.
Yeah, what's wrong with Dennis and... James has... James's father has a health problem.
Right. Dennis is the dude.
Yeah, Dennis is the dude with Carrie who is a girl. Dennis and James need to get on the shtick and start listening to the podcast. Maybe that's how...
I would just like to say... Two of you
Get it on.
While your girls, are listening to the show.
That's how Brianna could replace herself.
Used
with,
who's.
With Dennis or James. But Brianna's not going to have to replace herself. Yeah, she's listening to podcast. But she should replace herself anyway. We want bodies here where they can spend money on the local advertisers like Hall Financial. So she does have to replace herself.
Before she leaves, she better go buy, you know, a Ford or a something from Zot on M59. Chrysler Jeep.
And get
Dodge
somebody
Ram.
Hooked up here.
She better go get her eyes fixed from Yaldo.
And or get boobs from Dr. Roche.
Yeah, buy manscaping for Dennis, who is a dude. James, who doesn't James. Listen.
Brianna.
They can shave each. Used twos can shave each other. What was that guy's comeback? The porno line that came to life? Did he say used twos? What, used twos?
Oh, you know
what I'm talking about, right?
The porn line that came alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought it was a recording, and it was a guy and a girl, and we were bragging on him, and the guy got really offended.
You know what I remember about that bit? It's Clark's eating during it. I can hear him eating on the best of CD.
I just remember demanding a supervisor because I felt it was unfair for the talent to be ragging on us. But we paid for it. If we wanted to rag them while they pretended to get it on, our choice.
I'm going to find that we can add it to the end. The end of the show today.
It's you know what else came in? The Gordon Lightfoot interview from Dan. Dan Evans, show's historian. And we're talking about the Edmund Fitzgerald.
And he called you out on the fact that Lightfoot never got nailed or never got laid.
Yes, Lightfoot did get laid. And I saw that in a documentary recently, too. It's on a number of platforms, I believe. But it's not they're Lightfoot. You know, he's not Harry Chapin. But he's okay.
And while we're on the shout-outs of Dan, I'm telling you, he is an audio savant. I've been in the drop game for a while, and this dude is finding audio
drop game.
That I cannot find anywhere. I don't know how he does it. I don't ask. It just comes in.
Yeah, he does. He finds stuff from the show that's absolutely incredible. I wanted to mention something that came up today because I thought it was funny, and it's the Obama book. And, you know, I'm sure Obama must have gotten millions to put this book out, right?
Sure, yeah.
Millions.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
Because Michelle got a boatload of money, and Hillary Clinton got a boatload of money, and then Michelle did a tour to talk about the book.
And then she did
and a podcast.
And she's done with, right?
She is pod faded.
Wait, is it just she was doing a season, or did she just fade?
Let's see. I'm looking at it right now.
I would love if she just faded.
She had Introducing the Michelle Obama Podcast. That was July 16th, 2020. The most current episode, September 16th, 2020. She lasted longer than Biden did.
Nice fade. Well, I don't really have a problem with Michelle Obama. I mean, anybody who is first lady, that's got to be a miserable gig. Mm-hmm. But certainly has its benefits. I got really, every now and then, I find myself really annoyed with Michelle Obama. Not that I want to be, but, you know, that whole thing about her kid brother's bicycle being stolen and the cop racist. And I really thought that her mom surprised her because she's talking about how racist the police are, institutionally racist. And they made my brother prove that his bicycle was his bicycle. And it turns out that someone had called the police and said that her brother stole their bicycle. So what did they do? They went to her brother. They put the bicycle in the trunk. They drove to her parents' house. Mm-hmm. And her mother came out and gave the cops a bunch of shit. Yeah, it's his bicycle. You know, what the hell is this? And I just felt like Michelle did not expect her mother to say that. And by the way, the police were black. Because I'm hearing the story thinking all the whole time that the cops are white. And, of course, Michelle then came in and said, yeah, but institutional racism would mean that anyone in the police organization is affected or, you know, I guess continues to be racist or learns to be racist, or I don't know what she meant, but I thought that was kind of dubious. I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe her, but I thought she was a little ambushed by her mom. Then she tells a story about how white women don't see her, that people don't see black people, and that this woman pet her dog and she didn't look at her or something, and then she's at the ice cream
store. Where are the white women at?
With Secret Service, and this white woman just butted in front of her, and she said, she didn't even see us. Mm-hmm. And then she, you know, she reiterated that, you know, white people don't see black. I was like, what? That's a crazy generalization. But anyway,
Well, the first thing about Barack's book is, do you see how long it is?
768 pages.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's almost as long as Bill Clinton's book, which, by the way, was the most boring, wonky book. I bought it because I was curious to see what he said about a few things, and it was dreadful, just horrible. And they paid him millions for it, and they paid Hillary millions for her, and they paid Michelle money, and then she charged $30 to go see her at Little Caesars Arena to talk about the book that was coming out. It's like, what the fuck? I mean, that's what a money grab. But it is what it is. I mean, she wanted the money and people paid for the tickets. And so, I mean, she's extremely popular.
I mean, I understand doing a show. People are going to buy tickets to come see you. Here's the first audio excerpt from the book. Did you know they're already out?
I did not.
Here it is, the first one.
You make me want to smoke.
Well, funny you should play that.
Seems to be the revelation from the book. Yeah,
that's one of them. Yeah, Obama's smoking, and he smoked. And by the way, is Obama really okay with her talking about his smoking all the time?
What is she? Is she okay with it?
No. If you're Obama, would you really want your wife talking about your smoking all the time?
No. Remember on that 60 Minutes?
Yeah. No, I thought that was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first point I want to make is this: I think the country has been very kind to Michelle Obama in terms of their political career. I mean, she's been lauded in every way, shape, or form. And you know, her guns, and she's in such great shape. And generally, the media kisses her ass. I mean, am I wrong about that? Are people mean to Michelle Obama generally?
Not really.
It doesn't seem like it. So anyway, I was really curious when they start talking about Obama's book because and this was on TMZ today. I heard earlier about it, and I sort of felt the same way, but Harvey got a little deeper into it. The fact that Barack said a few things that made it sound like she wasn't very happy in the White House. And almost they were suggesting that he even implied that maybe they weren't going to last because he said, first of all, he says, despite Michelle's success and popularity, and she was immensely popular, I sense an undercut of tension in her, which, by the way, I feel tension from her anytime I see her speak. I don't know why.
Well, at least you see her.
Within the walls of the White House, all her previous sources of frustration became more concentrated, more vivid. And I sort of felt like, wait, she's stressing him out, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And
that's why I needed
he's
to smoke.
The president. So, I mean, don't you want somebody who sort of facilitates for you if you're... I don't want the president worried about how bummed out the first lady is, but anyway, they brought this woman on who has studied Michelle and so on and so forth, and she pointed out, and she was trying to do this in a way that was very positive, but I didn't take it that way at all. She pointed out that Michelle went to Harvard, and Michelle thinks she is a very productive, successful person, and she didn't like that Barack got all the attention.
That sounds like another former first lady.
Hillary? Yeah, kind of. And I don't think Hillary Clinton made Bill Clinton's life easier, except that she is a very much a politician who
understands
issues.
She was a team player.
She's a wonky person.
She was a team player for him.
She was. But
outside of sex, but yeah.
I just kind of think that she probably gave him a lot of stress and tension, too. But
she threw that lamp at him.
Michelle was angry because people talked too much about what she was wearing and not what she was accomplishing. And
it's the role of a first lady, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and
it's just that's how it goes.
And she made the specific guest said that she was particularly upset about a conference on childhood obesity where, and Michelle, of course, really wants to make everyone not be obese, every child and so on and so forth, whatever. I'm sure her heart was in the right place, but she was angry because in the course of this conference, she had mentioned something about Barack smoking and that she wished he didn't smoke and she wanted him to stop. And that was the big story the next day.
Oh, that is nice. That is nice.
That nobody was really talking about the childhood obesity, but the fact that Barack Obama smokes and he's still smoking.
Yeah.
And my thoughts on that are, why is she talking about him fucking smoking all the time? Can't she privately harangue? Well, I'm sure she did.
Can't she just let him
smoking reefer?
Can't she just let him smoke? Although that was his promise.
Yeah, he did stop.
He would run for president. She only allow him to run for president
if he quit smoking. But it's sort of the impression I got was that she felt that she was accomplishing a lot and that he got in the way or that his attention, all the attention on him was sort of took away from her success. So I don't know. I see her not being very happy with these disclosures, although she probably had to approve the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And also,
I'm intrigued to see what he says about the Osama bin Laden thing, if he has anything new to say about it that we don't know.
Oh, these revelations about Michelle. I don't think anybody's going to care about that.
Well,
I'm kidding.
He had a lot of these things, I guess, he said about McCain in there, too. And even so much, he's like, if you knew more about Sarah Palin, I wonder if you'd still choose her to be the running mate.
Yeah, he said that he thought the beginning of the rot in the Republican Party was McCain picking Sarah Palin.
Oh,
did McCain actually pick her, though? Didn't his people?
He should have picked her. If he, I mean, he's responsible, ultimately. If he didn't pick her, yes, then that's still his fault.
But didn't everybody go, hey, we need to have a woman? And
but it was a great pick for like a week.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Remember, she crushed that first speech.
But she could not be left to her own devices and asked questions out of the blue. She could speak. She could give a great speech if she decided what to say.
She had a mental breakdown. And I still, my favorite story is still the preparing for the debate where she kept calling Joe Biden, "Oh Biden."
Oh, that was funny. That was really funny, wasn't it? Because they were telling her all week, you can't call him Joe O. Biden. It's Joe Biden. She kept saying it, and then she said it in the debate, too. She
shredded the tape of that. Because, you know, they videotape it.
Oh, yeah.
To break down the film afterwards. They shredded the tape, and the one guy, God, I can't remember his name. He's a political consultant on the right. Has the tape like in a bag, and I'm like, we'll start fucking taping that thing back together so we can see it.
Also, Barack Obama said, oh no, this wasn't Barack Obama, this was the person who's an expert on Michelle Obama said, and she quoted her, she said that sometimes she is so mad at Barack that she wants to push him out the window. It's like, wow, that's pretty. Barack seems like a pretty good guy. I mean, is he an asshole that we don't know about? I mean, does he treat her like shit sometimes?
Well, he's the maddest we've ever seen. That guy's never been mad.
I can't imagine him getting anybody that mad. Yeah. He seems like a good guy.
Yeah, but what if there was infidelity with Larry Sinclair?
I performed oral sex on Barack Obama.
Well, that would be enough to make anybody angry enough to push their spouse out
Obama
the window.
Obama and Larry Sinclair had a steaming love affair. Obama and Larry Sinclair had a steamy love affair. Larry looked into the eyes of Obama, the Mac Daddy, and they put a spell on Obama, the Mac Daddy. Obama said to Larry, oh, you're just my style and my kind. Oh, you look like just what I want, my man, woman, and half whatever look to look like.
What?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Well, you know.
Obama!
It is possible that Obama is a complete asshole to her, and I never pictured it that way. But anyway, the other thing she was upset about was because I think she was implying that he's a sexist, or that marriage is sexist, and that her complaint was that, damn it, I want to go to the gym, but I get halfway there, or I get halfway ready, and I think, well, somebody's got to feed the kids. And then Barack wants to go to the gym. And she said that I know. It's like, really? You don't work this out ahead of it? This isn't something you kind of have a routine. And she said that she learned that she should just go to the gym and he'll figure it out.
Well, that's good communication.
I was kind of. It seemed like Barack was trying to get something said in this book that maybe he couldn't say to her.
Go to therapy and figure it out.
It sounds like he writes a lot about, you know, Trump because of the whole birther thing.
Yeah. Well, but he said
the one revelation I thought that I read that I thought was interesting is that Trump called the White House in 2010 to offer assistance with plugging the oil spill, the BP oil spill.
Huh. Really?
Which is really intriguing as to what,
like,
kind of assistance.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, he never said anything about that, did he?
No, I've never heard that story before.
He felt that the rise of Trump was because people's response to having a black man in the White House, and I think he's wrong. I really do. I thought that
wrong.
Hillary Clinton was a horrible candidate. And I think Trump,
yeah, well,
I don't think Trump was considered necessarily, oh my God, Obama, I got to have Trump. It was more that Hillary Clinton was not popular at all.
He still did win
also,
the primary.
What's that?
He still won the primary in 2016.
But he was talking about Trump. Running Trump. Far behind. Every time he was on The Apprentice, every season, he would ask these celebrities, should I run for president? And that dates back for years and years.
Back to 1981.
No, yeah. I think Barack meant that Trump was popular because he was in the White House, because a black man was in the White House. That was the way I took it. And I felt that Hillary Clinton was a horrible candidate and that Trump was also the response to a lot of the far left, the political correctness, the, you know, feeling uncomfortable about saying things, because he would just haul off and say things during the primaries, and people felt like somebody can find, you know, he says what he wants.
He's an outsider.
And he's an outsider. So I don't know. I just can't attribute it to just racism.
No, I think it goes back to him making jokes about Trump at the 2011 correspondence dinner.
Well, no, it was not about why Trump ran. It was about why he was elected. He was elected. Barack Obama felt
it's
because
never just one thing.
People,
though.
Yeah. Well, that's what the book says, and I don't know. I mean, these are just headlines, so they're probably just one page each, and who knows what else is in the book. But along the lines of local news, there was today a Whitmer press conference, which was interesting. Did you guys watch the whole thing?
Oh yeah.
Did you see it, Trudy?
No, I didn't see anything.
It was.
You didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It was typically, you know, I feel like I'm in kindergarten when she's talking because, you know, we stayed home. Okay, what happened the last time this got really bad, this coronavirus? We stayed home, we sacrificed, and we masked up. And the second wave is hitting us hard, and I'm not sugarcoating it, and we told you it was coming.
I like, my favorite part was when she was talking about Thanksgiving. She's like, maybe you do Zoom and you record it and then you can watch it later.
Maybe.
Like, first off, don't tell me how to record.
I don't want to see a fucking recording of anybody's Thanksgiving.
Nobody's going to ever watch a recording of a family gathering, ever. Unless someone passes and you want to see them. But for the most part, nobody's going to watch a whole recording of someone's Thanksgiving dinner.
And she was trying to also...
Doesn't it always seem like there's a lot of people that try to get out of Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why now?
There'll be plenty of people who are perfectly delighted to stay home.
But I feel like the things I've seen on Twitter just from today are like, what? It's the most important event. And I love it. It's my favorite weekend of the year. But I feel like more people are determined now to go to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that could be, since you can't do it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, you got to go. Sometimes you got to go to your husband's Thanksgiving and your wife's parents' Thanksgiving, and you got your own. I mean, it's for a lot of people, it's a long day.
Yeah, I love it.
And maybe, you know, be nice to stay home and watch some football games for a change. But anyway, she was trying to make the point of, you know, just this is 1,000 deaths a day, and you know, and that's a 9/11 every 3 days. That's like 10 737s going down every day.
By the way, it's more than 1,000. I think was it 1,800 now? But I think that whole thing about comparing it to planes is a shot at Trump. But do you remember him going, all they talk about is COVID, 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 COVID. A plane goes down and 500 people die and the media doesn't cover it. They're just COVID, 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 COVID. So I thought that was kind of a shot at.
The media doesn't cover
slow
it.
Slow the testing down, please.
Since when does the media not cover a plane of 500 people going
down?
I'm just telling
what he said in one of his rallies.
You got to wear the mask at all times, indoor, outdoor, when you go to bed at night.
Before the election, that's when he did it. And I just wondered, was that a shot at him to say that? It's more than 500 a day.
How many deaths a day are we having? 1,800 a day?
I thought it was 1,800, wasn't it?
I don't know it was that high. I mean, usually they do it by the weekly average, and I haven't seen a weekly average in 2 or 3 weeks, but I know it was 1,000 at least. And I thought she said that, but maybe she didn't. So, anyway, as far as 10 planes crashing every day, too, wouldn't it be 10 planes crashing with people over 75 years old who are compromised? I mean, it's not like planes crashing with, you know, a bunch of 45-year-olds and a bunch of kids. And not that a plane crashing with a bunch of 75-year-old compromised people would be all that great.
7-day rolling average right now is 1,153. Which
okay,
is the
but
highest,
that's still a
highest
lot.
It's been.
I mean, it was 2,500 a day at one point.
Was
but,
it?
This
is the highest.
The highest? No way. Look at the graph.
I'm just looking at it.
Doesn't the graph have us over 2,500 at one point?
Not this one. I'll look for another one.
Wait. I
don't know the story.
Hold on.
Just looking at it, what this one says. I'll find another one. I believe you.
Deaths per day. Just do
I was doing this 7-day average. Just
Seven-day average.
Not
important. You know the story. I don't know the story.
I mean, there's a day. There is a day, I think, with 3,000, but I don't know about seven. If the week didn't average 2,500, I don't know.
That's like four airplanes.
So what was the highest average per week?
I don't know.
I thought you said it wasn't 2,500.
That one said this is right now, but I don't trust
it. Oh, it says 1,100? No, 1,100 is not the highest.
I know. That's why I don't trust it.
There's no way. Anyway, whatever. Oh, my God. I hate these topics.
That's why I don't want to talk about it.
She did say that we don't need a judge and executive order to make smart decisions for ourselves. Well, she can't make an executive order anymore, so we don't.
Not only do we not need one,
we can't have one.
She claims she can. That was one of the things she said today. She goes, I'd rather not. I'd rather work with the legislature. But it sounds like the health department or whatever can do certain
things. You know,
I don't know if she can shut down.
I think the problem last time was that she gave an emergency order and then she kept extending it. So
yeah, that was
like
the problem.
An emergency for 6 months. And they said, you know, and it's an emergency for a while, but you can't just say we're in an endless emergency. So she probably, maybe she could. But she's, it's for Thanksgiving, she gave her ideas and one was to make a tape of it and send it to your relatives.
Fuck you.
Don't host people from outside your household. Because there's more people eating and drinking and yelling at the lions and, you know. So, and then she said that President Kennedy, as he said, if we all social distancing, I can't get a strange piece of ass. Kidding. I forgot what her Kennedy quote was, but.
Don't ask what you can do for your country.
It wasn't that one. It was something else. So, let's see. And then common mistakes. Small gatherings of people you know, there's more danger. Not quarantining for 2 weeks if you're exposed. Is that really a problem? Is that a big problem, people not quarantining enough? I mean, isn't the problem people bunching up together? Isn't that really the problem?
Well, I think they're both problems.
I just didn't know that many people were refusing to quarantine for 2 weeks after they were exposed. I mean, maybe that's true. And then she said getting tested too soon is a problem.
That mean?
Oh, like if you're near somebody
if I'm exposed and find out the next day that, oh, he has COVID, then going running out and getting a test, I should wait a couple days.
Yeah, how long does
the
onset?
I know, she didn't say. And then she said...
isn't the average like 4.5 days? So, I mean, whatever.
Social distancing without hand washing and, you know, wearing a mask and not social distancing. And so you have to do all these things, which I have to be honest, I have not heard social distancing talked about much at all. It's all about mask. And then, you know, even when we have the Biden celebration, it was like, well, everybody's wearing a mask, so that's okay. I just don't feel like anybody really talks about social distancing, but she was trying to emphasize that you have to do all these things. You got to socially distance, you got to wear a mask, and you got to wash your hands, and then making the mistake of doing something just because you can. That was kind of funny. I'm not sure what that means exactly. What are people doing just because they can?
Oh, I don't know. Going, running to the store. I don't know. I don't know.
But we have to go to the store. Well, yeah, she did bring that up. She said only one person from a household should go to the store.
Yeah.
Why should only one person go to the store?
Less is exposure to the household.
But whoever's going is exposed.
Yeah. Get some sour cream and onion chips with some dip, man. Some beef jerky, some peanut butter. Get some Häagen-Dazs ice cream bars, a whole lot of hot. Make sure it's chocolate. Gotta have chocolate, man. Some popcorn, red popcorn, graham crackers. Graham crackers with the little marshmallows and little chocolate.
That guy should just go.
S'mores, man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yo.
But the point is, if there's 10 visits to the store in 3 months... and I go once, and I get it, then I get it instead of she gets it. Why is that better that she gets it?
Well, it doesn't mean you're automatically going to get it, but if two of you go, then you just increased your odds that someone in the house
gets it. Oh, I thought she meant the same person should go to the store.
She probably does, once again. Oh. You're, you know, increasing the odds.
How are you? But if one person goes, one person gets it, and they bring it home.
So say I go to a store, and I get it, right, but I don't know.
Yeah.
The next trip to the store, wouldn't you rather I go than you go?
And give it to people at the store?
Well, I'm going
to
wear a mask.
But what if you get close to somebody?
I don't know. Ask her.
If you're wearing, if everybody's wearing a mask, then what if it's just about wearing a mask? Then what does it matter if you wear a mask? Then nobody gets it.
You have to wear a mask every time you go out.
There was an interesting survey done.
I don't understand that.
Whatever. Gallup did a survey about, you know, complying with things going forward.
Yeah.
What percent of people do you think would very likely abide by new lockdown restrictions? Like, which I don't think we're ever going to get to lockdown again.
It sounds like Illinois is going to lock down.
Like they're going to lock down. I know the mayor said, hey, don't do Thanksgiving a lot. The same thing everybody else is saying. I don't know. She locked it down. Did she?
No, they didn't. No, Pritzker didn't lock it down, but they suggested that lockdown is on the docket, and they may very well lock down because Illinois is just exploding with coronavirus.
Well, back in March, late March, early April, it was 67% said they would shelter in place. Today, it's 49% of people.
Oh, so then what the fuck is anybody going to do? I mean, it's like there's nothing you can do because certain people are just not going to follow the rules.
Now, the unlikely number in that same question back then was 15. Now, the unlikely is 33.
Oh, unlikely?
To follow the lockdown order.
Oh, it was 12 before?
The question is, if public health officials recommend that everyone stay at home for a month because of a serious outbreak. So this isn't even a lockdown. This is just asking you to stay home because of an outbreak in your community. How likely would you be to stay home for a month? 49%
said. Well, you still go to the store once in a while, right?
You
can't go anywhere. You have to stock up and stay home for a month?
That's how the question was asked. Yeah, how likely would you be to stay at home for a month? So back then, it was 67.
Well, I can't believe can everybody get all the stuff they need for a whole month?
No, of course. But like she said, not doing the things you don't need to do. Obviously, you're going to need to go get medications.
I don't know. I guess I'm stupid because I feel like I'm pretty much trying not to be the idiot that, you know, spreads it around. So I would probably stay home. Stay home.
Yeah, I would too. But that number was 67. Now it's 49. And the ones
then
that
it's
said,
hopeless. Then it's pointless.
I don't think so. No, because there were some good numbers in this.
51% not following the rules. That's not good.
Well, it's not.
I mean, if it didn't work last time, why would it work this time?
Only 33 said they were somewhat unlikely.
Yeah. I feel like the biggest problem is when they make these rules, there's so many people who feel that they are the exception. And she also said, and actually this is a good point, you can't assume your friends and family follow the same rules that you're following.
That's
a problem because people are around their family and some people are lazy. I mean, in the last 2 months, I've been one place where I walked in wearing a mask with another person who was wearing a mask and the entire workplace was not wearing a mask. Mm. And there were about, I don't know, 25 people there.
What kind of fluky thing.
But yeah, I'll tell you afterwards. It was, and I don't think anybody was sick there, but I mean, they were not following the rules, and I don't know why they weren't, but they weren't. So, I mean, there's just certain people that just won't do what they're supposed to do because they know better.
What percent of people wore a mask when they left their home in the last 7 days?
Oh, I would think it'd be high. In the last 7 days?
Yeah.
In Michigan?
This is national.
Wore
a mask on your face, went outside your home the last 7 days. Just throw a number out.
I'll say 87.
88.
Okay.
Now, beginning of August, it was 92. July, it was 92. But back in, you know, April, it was only 77.
It's going down a little bit.
Yeah, but that's the good news. I mean, for the most part, people are
abiding
by the suggestions.
I mean, like I said, I've been in one workplace where they were clearly not following the rules. But I know they said colleges are all going home.
Great.
That seems to me like
it's a bad idea, man.
Well, no, they're going home at the end of the semester.
Yeah,
I don't know.
COVID,
I mean, aren't they better off being at home where they're not going to be clumped up with people in a dormitory?
Let them all stay there so they don't spread it.
They are spreading it, though.
All we hear is that you're not supposed to travel, and now they're saying, hey, go home and then stay there.
I think it's just so they're not in dormitories around each other. Anyway, it was a great, it was a long press conference. But you want to get us out of here, Brandon?
Can I fly through some other local thing? I just want to know if you saw these stories. Did you read about the lawsuit at the Detroit Athletic Club?
I did not. I saw there was a lawsuit there. But
we need to talk about that tomorrow. And there's a new...
What's the lawsuit about?
Sexual harassment,
Sunday.
But it's really fascinating. What's today? Today's not Wednesday.
What? Why is it fascinating?
No, it's Thursday.
Well, I don't want to get into it. It's already like 8 hours long.
Well, really? Sexual harassment?
This girl,
how complicated is it?
It's pretty complicated. But, and plus they have all those
fun. You shouldn't have any secrets from me.
Paul Egan wrote in the Free Press, if anybody's interested. But the thing that I find it interesting is that the girl suing was not an employee of the Detroit Athletic Club. They were like an independent contractor that they used.
Oh, that's like the last one. Remember the last one?
Oh, maybe
with
this
the photographer
this,
that was
yeah,
getting
this
hired?
Is the same one. But
oh,
now,
it's the same one.
Yeah, but now they have all the depositions.
Oh.
All the things.
Yeah, that was a weird. That was a very weird story.
All the sexy things he said to her, like, you are a wonder to me. The sweet aura of your aurora.
Yeah, he had.
It's a pretty wild story.
He had some weird moves.
Oh, the aura of your aurora?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. I think I might use that for something, though. I think that's...
Well, get used to it, because that's my main move.
Wasn't he kind of an old
aura
guy?
Of your aurora.
And she's
married,
she was,
married with kids.
She was pretty cute, as I remember. She's an attractive young girl, photographer, and she was getting all the gigs over there, and then all of a sudden, I think she turned him down, and then the gigs sort of went away.
Yeah.
Well, he's dried up.
Got some moves.
I know. If I had a pussy, he'd be wearing a shit. I'd be like squirting.
Hey, by the way, it's Charles Manson's birthday, too. I just thought,
Manson.
I don't want to shout out like Maz, but not that it's wrong, but
wow.
Manson's birthday.
And Neil Young.
It's huge.
He's in a pod.
Hey, so how many Catholics are, by political affiliation, how many Catholics are Republicans versus Democrats?
How many Catholics?
Yeah, I mean, are Catholics, mostly Democrat or Republican?
Republican.
Or is there Republican, that's what I thought.
Yeah, why?
Are they going to kick the Pope's ass?
What happened?
He congratulated Biden on being president.
What? Hashtag not my Pope. Hashtag bring back Benedict.
Pope's not having a good week.
Hashtag... Well, yeah, John Paul II got canceled, right?
Yeah, did they cancel him officially?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's dead, but... He's not going to be a saint anytime.
Still don't want to be canceled. Detroit Public Schools are all remote now.
Yeah, not a shocker.
Detroit Public Schools and colleges are all at home.
What ones, Troy? So you said?
I said colleges are all going home, and Detroit Public Schools are all remote. And Costco customers who cannot wear a face mask for medical reasons must wear a face shield. How many people have a doctor's note to not wear a mask, by the way? Is that common?
I don't know. Well, like we just said, 87.
If you wear a mask, I would think you'd have somebody else doing that stuff, but what do I know? All right, have a good weekend, everybody. And we'll see ya!
Get it done.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Belinda. Welcome you to my beautiful Caribbean island.
Thank you, baby.
Filled with man-starved women. Adults only, please. You'll want to come and visit again and again. Remember, this is an international long-distance call.
Well, quit running up the bill and get to the good stuff.
Yeah, don't tell me about the phone company.
I mean,
tell me about your boobs.
From our island paradise is you. Hold on. In just a moment, you'll be connected to our exclusive island of seductive women, live.
Do that for me, honey. Shoot your all over my. That'd be real nice.
Sorry, I gotta bleep this.
I'll be licking your hot pussy.
Yeah.
You can all over my chin.
Who's this slob?
What a couple of dopes.
Oh, that's it?
Oh, you know what happened?
Like a
that's
dope.
So rude of you. That is so rude of you to interrupt us. It is.
Hello.
Oh, he thought it was recording. We insulted the guy and he's done. Now he's limp as a dish rag after that insult.
Okay, start all over.
Your lips can be like a dish rag, a dish bag.
Start all over again. Pretend this didn't happen.
Oh, you're a bunch of clowns.
Well, what a cheeseball operation this is. I don't need it. I don't need to hear some guy get off. I know. Honey, stay on the line. Get rid of that guy.
That's not nice.
I'm going to get rid of you guys.
Hey, we're paying you, pal.
Yeah.
You do what we want.
This is costing us. Don't we get to choose?
Hey, Chief, hang up the phone.
Yeah, one guys have each other.
What's that, Chief?
Why don't you two guys have it all with each other?
I'm paying all this money to have an argument. It's like Monty Python where you pay for an argument.
Hey, Cheeseball.
Come on, guys.
Come on, hang up the phone. We know you weigh like 400 pounds.
I'll call you back.
These two boys can themselves off.
One more word out of you, hotshot, and we're going to ask for the supervisor of this operation.
Bunch of
You know what it is, Drew? They think that we want this.
Nice career. Did you get your PhD to do this?
Yell at me.
Hey, nice.
Whip me.
Hey, nice career, pal. Sitting there weighing like 500 pounds, talking dirty to some ugly woman with a nice career.
With a pin. Weigh about 2 inches.
Yeah, as if you've ever been laid before.
Unlike little boy.
Little pin.
Little boy.
I could fling you like a piece of baby poop, pal. If you didn't weigh 500 pounds.
That's just butt cheeks. That was hilarious.